This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Audible.com. With more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals, for a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. Coming up on TMS, we record 500 episodes.
Scott pounds a rod deep into the Earth's crust.
Utah woman gives birth to 14-pound kid.
Ouch. More flesh-eating drugs make it to the States.
Pet Sematary is getting a proper remake.
Ender's Game took the top spot over the weekend.
In an unpredictable and shocking turn of events, Courtney and her grandpa husband are calling it quits.
Wow, I am surprised. Eric's app review.
Major spoilers.
Geek food and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Somebody once said, all the really good things in life are either illegal, immoral, or fattening. Well, the Bird's Eye people proudly announce a really good thing. Cool and creamy. It's a new kind of pudding with flavors so rich they're almost sinful. The chocolate is scandalously smooth and chocolatey. And the butterscotch is shamefully thick and butterscotchy. And the vanilla is so vanilla-ish. Downright wicked.
I just got 25% more gas release. The Morning Stream.
I love the smell of polyurethane in the morning.
This is The Morning Stream.
Welcome everybody to I had a kind of a cough nightmare there where I had to unpause and I was too late to mute it. So what better way to kick off our 500th episode than me jacking it up like a dumbass?
Sure.
Hello, well, everyone.
It's appropriate.
It is kind of appropriate, and it is our 500th episode of The Morning Stream. And some of you may be new going, what, there were 500 of these? They're all
how
up online.
How am I ever going to catch up? How am I ever going to discover the characters and understand the lore behind this show when I have so many episodes to catch up
There's
with?
So much canon, and then there was the time we changed out the main guys in it, and it was Coy and Vance for a while. And
that's right. And we had the cigarette-smoking man in the corner, and we explained his origin story. And
right. We'd hired the T-1000 to run things for a little while. But yeah, we're back. We're here. It's Monday and it is our 500th episode, and a big, huge top of the show. Thanks to everybody for helping us through the last couple of years build a show that could hit that milestone so quickly, efficiently, and satisfactorily.
Wow.
Brian, it's been fun, man. It's been a great time.
It has
time.
Been fun.
Not that we're going away. We're not done.
No. We're not even half done.
No.
Not even a quarter of the way done.
So let's just have a little fun with predictions real quick.
Okay.
Took us from January of 2011 until now to hit 500. Mm-hmm. That means roughly, what, 2 years of
2 years and change. Months.
Sure. So 2.5 years, let's say, is what it takes to reach that. I think we easily hit 1,000, but if you had to predict how far
what's the longevity?
In the future, what do you think? Give us a number. Just predict one.
Pick one. Well, see, here's the thing. What worries me this show doesn't end until one of us dies.
Good point. So about 1,000.
Basically, TMS is Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leaves. Yep.
We run Bartertown. It's all good. Yes. But look,
by
look,
the way,
yes.
Well, what's with all the pudding audio lately?
The pudding. Oh, yeah. So I got to explain that. They're all different, by the way. None of those are the same.
Oh,
there's some similarities, obviously. But I went on this kick where I was trying to find some new vintage commercials.
Some new old stuff, yes.
And I was aiming for early 60s. I was kind of going for, let's find some Mad Men era vintage commercials. And I ran into this giant swath, like this treasure trove cave filled with pudding commercials from that era. And I don't know why they were there or where they came from or that they – I can't even believe they all existed. But I just kind of went on a bender and I recorded like 20 of those things.
Oh, I love it. Well, so but here's the funny thing. So you know how with some words, the more you say them, at some point it starts to sound really funny to you.
Yeah. Like
I think the word pudding has a much shorter journey to get to that. It just sounds weird. Pudding, pudding, you know, because it's not a verb. Yet it sounds verb-like.
Yeah. It does. Pudding. See, it's already sounding stupid, isn't it?
Yes. And you take off the ing and it's pud. So somebody, when they're coming up with this, they're, well, it's pudding.
Yeah. And to some, people.
Disguised as pudding.
It's not even close.
There's not even, right. It's pudding. It's anyway. One syllable.
Look forward,
four letters, P-U-D-N.
Look forward to at least a couple more of those. And then I'll move on to something else. I'll find like more cigarette ads or
I have no problem with you just keeping, you know, let the pudding flow.
All right.
The pudding must flow.
I like that you A, noticed and B, are okay with it. I think those two things together make a happy guy out of me. So here we are. The aftermath of the move is essentially settling down. Mm-hmm. My temporary space, and this space is temporary. I'm at the backside of a basement room. It's a bigger, larger room over there that is only going to be used until my studio room is finished, which is behind that door. And that needs some walls, some electrical, some lighting, some drop ceiling stuff, and a few other things. But when that's done, probably toward the end of the year, all this gets moved in there. Mm-hmm. And then I start the process all over again. In a new space. But beyond that, the house generally, we're pretty much, you know, there. There's still, you know, Kim's got to hang things and do things, and there's stuff to do. Right. But we're done with all the hard
green
bits.
Green screen up and...
all that hooch.
I did notice you've actually decorated your temporary space. You've got some pictures up. You've got Steve the Duck back there.
Yeah, and if chat room... And you can probably see this if you got video up. I'm going to just aim the camera over here. Let's see how this looks. Okay, so this is... See, I've got a gallery, over here. Of all of, not all, but much of my, some of my artwork. And
you got your camera mounted on a cardboard box, it looks like.
Yeah, I do, actually. And the box that is mounted on is a giant World of Warcraft box.
Oh, nice. Look at that.
Expansion box, which is on the back side of it.
It's like a fake, it's like one of the fake ones they put up at GameStop.
Yeah, and it's signed by all these luminaries.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I have a Diablo box the same. I have a Diablo 3 box that does similar things.
Wow.
So anyway, yeah, so that's very temporary. I have actual stand for the camera that I have to just find. It's in a box somewhere. So there's still stuff to do. But man, have I got a cool story to tell you.
All right.
About the aftermath of the move. So Thursday, we had our first show back after the move.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People are sick of hearing about the move, but this is an important point, I think, to remember. Yeah. So people on the chat, or one or two people in the chat had said, anyone else hearing a weird buzz or kind of a hum sound? And I was like, I don't hear one. You didn't hear one. A bunch of people in the chat were like, we don't hear one. So it felt like, oh, just one guy was having a thing. Right. No big deal.
Yes. Better have that checked out.
Yes. Yeah. So later that day, I put the show up. No big deal. It's up. It's done. Later that day, I get one tweet from somebody on the TMS feed saying, hey, there's a weird hum slash buzz in the background of everything you're doing on the show today. I'm like, really? One guy. What does he know? And I'm starting to worry that it meant something or it means something. Next day, do the instance, whip it out. Me and Dills rocked it hard, finished it. Great show. Put it up. Immediately, everybody's saying, I got three or four people going, hey, there's a weird hum and buzz behind everything today.
Oh,
no. Like, what the H is going on? So I went and listened to those episodes. Sure enough, especially with headphones, that was the way you'd know. Mm-hmm. So if you're commuting in your car and you're playing over the stereo or it's just running in your house on a computer, you probably wouldn't have noticed. But if you had these earbuds in and you're really listening closely, you're going to hear this buzz. Sure enough.
Tweaked audio, you'd notice it.
Yeah. Sure enough. Thing in the background, right? On that and TMS's Thursday episode. Now, here's the funny bit. I couldn't reproduce it while I record. There's no real-time way to listen to it. Like normally, if you have power interference on a cable or something like that, like a mic cable's too close to a transformer or something, you can hear it while you do it. But this wasn't the case in this case. I could not hear it while I recorded. It would only show up in the final recording later on. So I'll give you an example of what it sounded like. All right. I've amplified this some, but you'll get the idea.
Okay.
Now, see if you can hear
it's like science going on here.
And you're
going
to hear some like alien sounds in this.
What? Really?
I think. So here you go. Right. Here's here's the short one. All right, hear that?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Now, that was that cranked up, and you kind of hear that in the background going, we have the eagle has landed, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
So then I dug around a little bit more, and I found more, so here's even more. I mean, I can hear a guy back there, like, giving instructions or something, you know, like.
I didn't hear it so much in that one, but it's the first one.
Isn't that weird? Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah, wow.
As a kid, those kinds of things used to freak me out, like that number you could call. and it would go.
Oh, yeah.
Boop, boop, boop. And every once in a while, I'd come in and go, the time, Greenwich Mean Time or whatever. I used to be so freaked out by that because you'd hear all these.
Time, world clock.
Yeah. And you'd hear these weird ethereal sounds all around it.
Between the ticks, you'd hear like.
Yeah. It's like Russian commanders giving orders to not fire off the nuke just yet, or, you know, all that. All my 80s paranoia was tied up in that weird phone number you could call. So I was frustrated as all get out because I had Kim be my guinea pig, and she stayed down here and she'd record something, play it back, and tell me if she could hear it. She has great ears, so she put the headphones on. She'd say, well, you know, did you hear this time? Yes. Okay. Unplug this cable. Did you hear it? Yes. Okay. Move these cables apart. Did you hear it? Yes. Swap that cable out. Yes. Turn off the mixer completely. Still record, see what happens. Still obey the sound. So then we isolate. It's like, oh, it's not the mic. It's not the mixer. It's none of my audio inputs are creating this problem.
Okay.
I go through every possible scenario. I move monitors out of the way. Oh, I move second computers out of the way. I unplug that whole thing over there. I changed a power, battery backup out because I thought, maybe that's it. Everything. Finally. One of the final things she tries, I'm like, well, let me just take out the network cable, see what that does. So I take out the Cat5 cable that's bringing me internet, which makes it so I can record shows live.
Right.
And goes away. Just poof.
Oh,
gone.
No. So okay, like, well, so there needs to be some grounding on that or something. I think that's what that's telling me.
That is exactly right. I should have called you is what I should have done. So here's what happened. Go down to the Home Depot. My brother-in-law had this brilliant idea, Steve. He's kind of smart. He's the guy that built the desk, and he knows everything about anything.
Right.
He goes, let's go to Home Depot. We go down there, and after some research, it did seem like this is a likely thing, but it seemed like a safe bet to spend like $15 and see if it worked. Sure. We go to the Home Depot. We buy an 8-foot-long copper rod, just this giant rod, and we bring it home with a little bit of 6-gauge wire to go with it. Pound that thing deep within the earth's crust. Just bang, bang, bang. Never penetrated the earth quite like that in my life. It felt a little...
Did you smoke a cigarette afterwards?
There was kind of a... this is a strange sensation. I actually kind of had a weird sense of guilt doing it. I know that sounds strange, and I don't understand why.
The world's cherry.
It's not quite... I mean, it wasn't sexual, but it was like this feeling of like, oh my gosh, I've never... As a human being said, come here, Earth, take this and have this thing that's foreign to you in you, you know? I felt like I was violating the Earth. It was weird. It was a weird feeling. Anyway, we pound that thing in there as deep as we can get it. Ice Worm's going to be busy
Ice Worm
this afternoon.
Can I have that one, Ice Worm?
Yeah, you got a couple hours. You got a couple hours to kill, buddy. So we pound it down in there, and then we clamp a wire to it. We take the wire back up to the input from the ISP. Now, they had one tied out. This is really boring, this part. But they had one tied to a pipe that was just outside of the house. And that pipe was kind of rusty toward the base. And rust, as anyone knows, and I now know, is a terrible conductor. It doesn't work. Not like the metal that the rust came off of. So if you tie a wire around something rusty, Brian, not going to conduct electricity. No.
Yeah.
Or create a good ground. So that was probably there for, you know, 5 years or something. So I pounded this thing in, put in this fresh, hot, you know, copper thing. We pounded it into the ground, tied it to that thing. I have no expectation this is going to work. In my head, I'm going, this is all a bunch of mumbo jumbo. May as well be Gandalf telling me to stare into a rock. You know, I had no expectation that this is going to work. So I came back in the house. Fired it all up.
Morpheus and you're Neo.
I didn't believe it. I just said, whoa, and I didn't want to jump, right?
Right.
So we come in. I fire it all up. Kim gets on the headphones again. Smooth as pie.
Wow, nothing.
Went away. All that background noise, all that weird alien crap, completely gone. So it went from this, to this.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Good.
Oh, but it keeps every once in a while it says this.
Very attractive package.
And for no reason, I'll just pop in and just say that. I don't know why it's doing that.
There's certain things you're just not going to be able to do anything about it.
No. But I'm very happy about it. And this is just something to point out to people. If you have any kind of background noise or your TV's humming or you got weird cable issues, 99.9% of the time, I guess the problem is bad grounding. And it's because they're cheap. They don't want to do the right thing, so they just tie it to some piece of metal that's anywhere near the outside of the house. If they were to do it right, they just pound a rod into the ground and tie it to a thing, and you'd be done. And we're good. So there you go. There's my technical story of the day. I hope you enjoy it.
I think that probably will help people out. Like, because, you know, you get a lot of people who listen to the show who are podcasters, budding podcasters.
Yep.
And at some point, my show will happen. I've got plans, people, for a show. I just need, you know what I need is I need a sponsor. I need some way to make this happen. But
is this that one we talked about before?
Yes. I'll divulge the name. It's called So You Think You've Got the Talent to Be America's Next Top Podcasting Superstar.
Or, for short, what's the acronym?
I don't know what the acronym is.
I've already lost track of what the letters
are. I have to read it out. I have to write it down to figure out what the acronym is.
So you can glean a lot from that title, folks. That's right. Yeah, exactly. We'll see how that goes.
But anyway, with all these people who are budding podcasters, listen, you know, they may be having the same issue, maybe having a static or noise or whatever.
Yep.
And you're helping them out. You're helping people out.
Yeah. I should have said it was Lowe's, not Home Depot, but I feel like Home Depot is the Kleenex of their industry. It's just the name you say because you think you default to it. So even if you're going to like Bill's Hardware, you say Home Depot. Where are you guys going? Oh, we get some lumber at the Home Depot. But really, you're probably going to whatever's convenient. Could be a Home Depot. Might be a Walmart. But you just say it. I got a Band-Aid. I got some Kleenex. I'm drinking a Coke. Is Pepsi okay? Sure. You know? We've solved all the world's problems in 3 sentences.
Nicely done.
Podcastawards.com, everybody. Podcastawards.com. This show is nominated in 2 categories. FilmSack is also nominated. So is The Final Score. So is The Instant. So is Coverville. So are a bunch of shows from friends of ours like Sword and Laser, NSFW Show, Tech News Today.
Or as Todd Cochran calls it, the Not Safe for Work Show.
Yeah, the Not Safe for Work Show has... Oh, I've skipped ahead. Now everyone knows what one. did he say that in the thing the other day?
Probably.
Okay, yeah. Probably did. I like the bubble. I like it. I think it's a fun place. But what was my point? My point is you should vote. Every day you can vote for your favorites. So you can vote for TMS today, and that's 2 categories, and then you can go back the next day and do the same thing again. And we really want to win these things this year.
We did the thing last year
where we were like, you guys do what you want. We let you know once, and then we walked away. We're not doing that again.
No. We want it this year. Yeah. We want it bad.
Yeah. We want
it
really bad.
We want to walk away. We want to take a picture after the podcast awards with Scott and I each holding like 5
yes.
trophies.
Just to be able to say we did it. And we don't have to do that every year, but I want 1 year where we can just say, look at this, every category we were nominated in, we won. I would love that. Yeah. So go there, podcastawards.com, vote for everybody you love. And there are a bunch of great shows in categories we're not nominated in, so vote for your favorites there as well.
Yeah.
For example, the category
of Radiolab.
Yeah.
Best produced.
Yeah, and it should be. That show is amazing.
It is amazing.
What's another good category? I mean, they have weird categories like
Mature.
I like how
the Mature, every single show in the Mature has the word sex in the title.
It's got sex in the title. All of the
Larry does sex.
The gay and lesbian one category has doesn't have any Frog Pants shows in it, which just says to me we need to have a gay and lesbian show. Now what is that exactly? Is that just like, what do you do when you do a gay
or lesbian show just hosted by gays and lesbians, or is it a show about gays and lesbians?
Well, that's the question,
I would think you could probably do either and be in that category.
Well, I have internet friends who are homosexuals and do not have a show nominated in that category. The ones I see in there are all like lots of gay talk. So I think I think to be nominated in there, you have to be talking about the cause and the business of the gay lifestyle.
Gotcha.
I think that's how
goes. Just like to be in the Mature category, you have to be, you can't just be old.
No, you can't just get into Denny's for cheap. That doesn't work. You have to have.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's how it works.
You can't just eat dinner at 4. That doesn't get you into that category. All right. Anyway, so please go check it out. Would you please? That'd be great.
Please.
Vote.
Please.
We would like to win. We really would. And thank you all for being with us for as long as we've been here, 500 freaking damn episodes. Now, before we go to Daryl, I've got a thing to play that apparently is some sort of tribute to our 500th. We were told emphatically not to listen to this prior to the show.
This is danger.
Yes, this is danger. We don't normally do this. Like, we like to screen things before we get them, but I feel positive vibes coming off this thing, so I'm not stressed about it. Kim was even told, somebody went out of their way, I don't know who, but somebody went out of their way to get a hold of my wife and say, don't let Scott listen to that thing before the 500th day.
Really?
And then my daughter knew about it. So when I was getting files ready and I'm checking what files are what, I hear a tiny titch of the very tip top of the thing. Mm-hmm. And I hear Taylor across the room, who's visiting from school this weekend, go, "Dad, don't play that." And I go, "What are you? What? What's going on over there?" She goes, "You're not supposed to play that. That's for the 500 show." So somebody somewhere is really covering their tracks. So anyway, I don't know what this is. I don't know what to expect. I have no idea what this is, but this is for our 500th episode anniversary from Revan Geek and the Frog Pants and Tad Pooligans. Here it is, 500 shows. It's the title, in fact, 500 shows. Here you go.
When I wake up in the mountain time zone, I'm going to be the man who tunes right into you.
When I work out, well, you know I'm going to be the man who's working out with you.
If I get drunk and I'll get drunk, well, you know I'm going to be the man running way over with you real long.
And if you're privileged, yeah, you know I'm going to be the woman saying it to you.
We have heard 500 shows and we want to hear 500 more. Just to see you reach 1,000 shows to hear Scott mispronounce out some more.
When I'm spoiling, you know I'm going to be the man who's geeking out for you.
And if the movie is worth watching or it's poo, I'll pass those recommendals on to you.
Oh, when you call me, oh, you know I'm gonna be the man stretching out my Star Trek guest for you.
And when we're done, well, you know I'm gonna be the one giving all the points to you and you and you.
500 shows and
beedle-doo,
500 more,
poodle-deedle-doo,
1,000 shows and here they go more and more.
When it's Apple,
if it's Apple,
oh, you know I'm gonna be giving 5 Ebbet heads to you.
When it's not, oh, I know I'm gonna give those little tech bites right to you.
And when you're hungry, well, you know I'm gonna be bringing some geek food right to you.
And when the show's done, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who says bleep you to you. I'm gonna be the man who says bleep you to you. Bleep you!
We have heard 500 shows and we wanna hear 500 more. So we have heard 1,000 shows via Brian's cable run next door. Da 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 da. And we want to hear 500 more, so that we have heard 1,000 shows, making our day and drive not such a chore.
I'm gonna use that last bit.
Hopefully that's good. If you don't like it, then I don't know. I have no idea what to tell you.
Wow, that is the greatest thing ever.
That is the greatest thing ever. You guys, I actually kind of got a little choked up in the middle of that, and I'm not kidding around. That was amazing.
I'm there, man. Oh, that's I would love to know, like, who all, how, number one, how the heck you did that using your methods of communication without it leaking out.
I don't know how they did it. I completely under the radar. Yeah. And there are people involved in that. Yeah. Who I never would have thought would sing this into a microphone. Like Fletcher, sure.
Steven Schleicher's a little tone deaf.
Schleicher freaking tore it up, man. And my wife did that. I had no idea this was going on. All in the middle of our craziness here. I had no idea. That just made my day. So
it was Reverend Geek put that thing together. You got Cleo in there. Yeah. And I mean, so many people, I can't even.
Fletcher, Tom, Veronica, or not Veronica. I was saying that. Nicole Justin.
Hakito.
His weirdness. Yeah. Hakito singing? What the heck, dude?
I love it.
Whose crazy idea is that?
I'm glad he sent me a copy of that too, so I can listen to it again after the show and see how many of the other voices I can pick out.
And I'll link that up so that it's available to whoever wants it as a separate thing. If you guys want.
Oh, you did have Wendy was in there.
She was. What? Which part? Where did she sing? What'd she do? Did she say something about advice or something?
It says Wendy was in there. Yeah, I didn't catch.
I didn't either.
Well, I'll have to listen to it again to hear that. Wow. That's amazing.
Bananas, dude. That's what that was. All right. You guys made our whole week. And so what better way to celebrate as we move forward than calling Daryl?
We need a music video for that, like We Are the World.
Totally. Totally. That would be fantastic.
Dan's modern 500. Oh, look at that. How come I didn't even notice that everybody in the tadpole had the number 500 in their
name? I don't know either. I didn't notice that. Oh, you guys are killing me. You guys are amazing. 500. This has all been worth it. We can quit now. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by
you may remember Orange Air from such shows as Coverville episode 987, but did you know that aside from their cover of The Cure's Killing an Arab, they have 2 5-track EPs of completely original indie rock goodness for you to purchase and download at orangeair.bandcamp.com. yes, go now or after the show and hear Nathan, Jessica, Mike, and Jason rock your socks with the latest sound from Jacksonville, Florida. Orange Air, it's swell.
That is swell.
The whole time I did that ad, I was holding up an Orange Air, one of those 5-track EPs right there to the camera, which
nice.
Is
yeah.
Awesome.
Support them. Help people like that out.
Heck yeah. Do it. Do it.
I'm a lot more echoey in this space. I need to get like some padding right here. Bah, bah, bah.
Well, don't doctor that room up until your big room is done, right?
This is a good point. Yeah. Because it's all going to be like, there's probably going to be a pool table right where I am right now. Like at some point, or a mini arcade in here or something. Yeah, because it's the way it's laid out is exactly for that. There's these 2 lamps that just like would hover over a pool table.
You know, if I wouldn't have taken a Sawzall to our air hockey table, I totally would have sent it to you.
Whoa, what'd you do that for? What'd you take a Sawzall to it for?
We never used it, and it was constructed in our basement. We needed room for the new poker table.
Oh.
And there was no way we were going to get it upstairs and out the door without some sort of... Yeah. I mean, it was like a ship in a bottle. There was no way to...
Yeah, you got to get it out.
Yeah.
Good move. Daryl, also a good move to have you on the show. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm great.
Your singing voice was breathtaking. That was special.
I wish I could have done that over again.
Now that you've heard it in full production. That's the best thing about this, because I can only imagine, because I can't get everybody in the same studio.
Right.
Everybody's trying to keep key and keep pace with a song based on something he sent to them. And so the result is better, I think, better than if they were all in the same room. Yes, I don't want perfect unison. I don't want perfect tone and pitch.
I love the fact that that there's, you know, like maybe a split second for a couple people of their yada-da-da's. Yep. And, oh,
brilliant.
My God.
It's just brilliant. It really, really, really well done.
And the Justin Robert Young boodle-dee-doos.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Justin's always up for such shenanigans, so that was a perfect pick for that. All right, Daryl, it's good to have you back, and I've got some free stuff from Justin to give you today if you get this correctly, okay? You're going to get Broken Sword Director's Cut for Steam and a copy of Worms Reloaded.
Wow.
Which you may already have. Do you have Worms Reloaded? No.
Do you? I don't think I have that one. I have the first one, I think.
All right, very keyboardy friendly. Be perfect for you and the kids. Your son will love it. Sons, that is. So here's your chance to win a couple of free games. Courtesy of Justin, who donated these last week. And I wanted to get them in early this week. So here you go. You ready? Y'all set? You holding your butt?
Yeah, I'm gripping it hard.
Good. It's nature's...
Ice Worm.
Nature's
one
pocket.
One more right there, Ice Worm, please.
In the Deep Space Nine episode, I don't know why he's going with all these... we're breaking the rules. We're breaking the fourth wall here.
It was overflow from last week.
Oh, was
something.
It? Okay, yeah. Well, here you go anyway. In the Deep Space Nine episode, Trials and Tribulations, you know the one, The crew ends up back in time in the time frame of the original series. They have to wear uniforms matching the time period they're in. Sisko is wearing a gold command uniform. What rank does Sisko take when he is disguised as a crewman? He put crewmen, but whatever. Crewmen from the original series. Was it A, ensign, B, lieutenant, C, lieutenant commander, or D, commander? Ensign, lieutenant, lieutenant commander, or commander? Which is what he was in the other world, I guess. Or no, he would have been captain by then. Because remember, at some point they gave him captain status, even though it's not a ship. Like, he just said, you're the captain, fine. So while you ponder on such things, we're going to do a little food testing. And did we warn you? I don't think we warned Daryl what we're taking, but it doesn't matter. We'll tell you
now. He probably heard.
Did you hear?
I heard. Are you hungry?
Right. Aren't you hungry?
Much a foodie.
The two things you want are the Oshi Inori seaweed, but there was like a little wafer thing attached to the top of it.
Yeah, I see that. That's right on the top. That's good. That's lucky because I have cabinets full of food. It would have taken forever to dig for it.
There's kind of a drawing of like a green Final Fantasy character. Yeah. It looks like a...
It totally is. Like it's Cloud Strife about to eat some seaweed.
Except he's got the... I don't know what that... I don't know if that's a face that people know there. But look at him on the other side. Like, yeah, look at me with my hand. All right. Let's open that up. Now, we got this wafer on top, which is a little bit confusing. So attached to this bag is something called... I can't even read that, Brian.
It is the rice cracker. Those aren't letters that you're supposed to be able to pronounce.
Oh, okay, got it.
But it's rice cracker filled with custard cream.
It's dangerous. Now, why they're attached, we don't know if our person who sent these did it or if it was like that from the factory. So we're going to assume it neither.
I'm looking. You'd think that they'd be from the same manufacturer, right? If they're going to be stuck together,
but they're not.
It does not appear that they are.
It's also not the same language. Like that's like Indonesian or something, or whatever they speak down there.
Maybe it was to keep it from flying around the package. Right.
What do Indonesians speak? Is that a form of Chinese? Is it a what is it? I don't even know.
Indonesian, right?
Indonesian. I don't know. Indo-Ninglish. Is that it?
Indo-Ninglish. Okay. But I thought there was a language called Indonesian. Is there not?
Is there not? Maybe there is, and it just sounds wrong. Chat room, come on, you guys know. They have a ton of different dialects. Indonesian
and
Official
language is Indonesian.
Okay, good. We were right. There you go. My ignorance paid off. Okay, so let's open this on up. We'll do the seaweed first.
Okay.
With a custard wafer chaser.
Custard kicker.
Oh. So this is just straight up, I think this is just straight up seaweed this time.
Oh, there's a tear hole or a tear slot. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everyone needs a good tear slot.
Except it needs to go across, horizontal, not vertical. I just tore it horizontal or vertical.
I am just not a fan of seaweed.
I love the taste, though. I could eat this all day.
Just don't let Kim down there breathing out the dust.
Yeah, I know. She can't get near this. She's on today for Geek Food, and I'm a little worried about proximity here.
Oh.
I'll move that out of the way.
Oh, is she actually going to come to the studio for Geek Food?
Yep. Got a mic all set up over here. You won't be able to see her, but I have a mic for her and Sarah to stand. By the way, Sarah now lives literally about about a minute and a half drive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy how close we are. It's a good thing, though. It's good. It's good for everybody. Cool. All right. Now I'm going to eat this weird... that went down just like you'd expect, but the wafer... I have no idea what the wafer is. By the way, we can't eat anything too weird on Wednesday because we both fly out on Thursday.
That's right.
I don't need to accidentally eat, the Japanese equivalent of a... make you shit on a plane candy or something. Oh, that's not bad. I don't like
it's
that custard.
Bad.
The custard's a little on the south side.
Well,
what I mean?
It's not even really filled with custard. I can see right through.
Yeah, me too.
It's a little bit
what
of a falsehood.
Take?
It's a falsehood. We've been duped. so there you go. Thank you very much. Salty, though. That's a saltier thing than I expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what that taste is.
I don't either.
It doesn't register in my brain as anything.
Right. I don't know what to... I have nothing to compare that to. That's the truth. I really don't. I'm with you on that. I don't know what that is. And it's leaving me... I feel like... What's it? It tastes like loneliness. You know what I mean?
Well, it's better than eating alone.
True.
They're sharing a drink they call loneliness.
So there you have it. Yum yum. Thank you so much for that. Moving back to Daryl's deliberations. But before that, a birthday. Anybody celebrating today?
Oh, yes. We have Ursuline Bryant, who is 66 today. She played Captain Trila Scott on the TNG episode Conspiracy.
Ah. Ursuline?
Ursuline.
Wow.
Yes.
Ursuline.
You should put some Ursuline on that.
It's a Stone Temple Pilot song, isn't it?
Right.
Ursuline? I think so.
Well, Bush also did a song called Vaseline. The one you sang, I think, was more of a
Bush style. Oh, I am thinking of style. Bush. You're right. I'm thinking of Bush.
But there is a Stone Temple Pilot.
That one. Vaseline in the thing. Yeah, that's the one. Here's the band I hate the most in the 90s. It's actually Bush, and I'll tell you why. Because the music wasn't terrible. It was fine. Whatever. It was an era thing, and it fit for a while. I don't think it was like... It's not like Alice in Chains. When you hear it later, you're like, man, those guys were good. It's not like that. It's more like, okay, that was a thing. It was like Creed. Yeah, it fit within its window. But the biggest problem I have with Bush is the name is the dumbest dumbest name for a band. And when you're...
Hole? You don't think Hole is a dumber name for a band?
I think Hole is pretty bad. Hole and Bush are both bad. And so,
Iceworm, can I have that one too?
I hate it. And plus,
you're going to be busy today, dude.
Plus, when you have like, you know, your band is big during the first part of a, well, not really big, but you're there while the, you know, during the first part of an administration of a president called Bush. It's just irritating. It's irritating. Right. I don't want to go see Obama in concert. You know,
this just did. Yeah. Todd Cochran has added us to the gay, lesbian, and mature.
Oh, good.
Categories.
Fantastic. Good. We're gonna win everything. Everyone, take the whole thing down. All right.
Win all the things.
Daryl. Well, happy birthday to Ursula. What was it? Ursuline.
Oh,
Ursuline. It's probably Mike.
Ice Worm. He did clarify. Bush did glycerine.
Oh, glycerine.
Yeah.
Every day go by. I'm going to marry the hot chick from that other band.
Glycerine.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's all crap.
Should have been Listerine. That would have been funny.
Listerine would have been great. Yeah, do a commercial. Sell it off. Why not?
Listerine. Don't let your breath smell bad.
Just go to the straight up message. You don't let your breath go bad.
Exactly.
I like that. You know what I don't like now? Here, sorry, you're bringing this out of me. There's a thing that's happening now in advertising that I want to stop. And it is everybody's desire to move away from traditional slogans that are usually a sentence like that. Listerine, don't let your breath go bad. Or, I can't think of another one. But normally it's, GE, we bring great things to life.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Now it's one word, and I hate that.
Oh,
so somebody come
yes.
out and go,
well,
you know, General Dynamics. Feel.
Smarter.
Feel or smart or shit right. or whatever.
Well, it used to be three words all separated by periods.
Yes.
Like what was the aspirin or little, yellow, different.
Yes, yes. They went through that phase. I don't like these advertising phases. They irritate me.
Right.
The one word ones now are really bugging me. I don't like them at all.
There's an auto shop, Lakewood Auto Electric, which is just down the way from us. You know, 10, 15 minutes down the way from us. And their sign says, their big sign on the corner says, Lakewood Auto Electric. And then underneath it, their slogan is, the answer to a complex world.
Well, at least they went completely over the top with it.
Right, exactly.
That's real dumb. All right. Daryl, smart, happy, fruitful, is now going to answer the question. What rank was Sisko when he went back in time to the Tribble time? And your choices were ensign, lieutenant commander, or commander. Where are you at? What do you think?
Well, I think I know. I remember seeing a single stripe on his sleeve. And unless I've completely lost my mind, I think that means lieutenant.
Ooh, look at you with the... Jeez, that's technical. I'm impressed that you'd even notice those things. But let's find out with the judges... if you're anywhere near correct. Judges?
Congratulations!
Correct.
You're a winner!
Nice job.
What? Wahoo!
Wrong one. Lieutenant. He has the rank of lieutenant in this episode. Miles O'Brien and Dax wear red uniforms while Dr. Bashir's uniform stays blue. Here's a clip of them discussing their stupid uniforms. Here you go.
Captain.
Lieutenant, actually, I didn't want to push my luck.
Looks good on you, sir.
Thank you, Ensign.
Wait a minute, aren't you two wearing the wrong color?
Don't you know anything about this period in time?
I'm a doctor, not an historian.
In the old days, operations officers wore red, command officers wore gold.
And women wore less.
I think I'm going to like history.
Bashir, you and your... It's always got his wiener out, that guy.
God, that sounds like... That does not sound like a good show.
It's actually good.
A lot of
people
love Deep Space Nine. But
that
boy,
that episode is really good, though. I will give him that.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
All the nods and stuff are... There's some cheesy nods and stuff, but it's actually pretty freaking good.
You know what? As soon as I finish... Oh, go ahead.
They're just having fun with it.
Yeah.
That's all.
As soon as I finish my rewatching of Firefly and Serenity, I will start at the beginning and watch Deep Space Nine because I think I watched two episodes at the beginning and never watched any more than that.
I think you'll be surprised. Okay. I think you'll like it, especially as it really gets ramped up. And you know how shows are only starting to get good around season three?
Exactly, yeah.
That show does the same thing. And it's just like TNG did before it. And it... there's some really good stuff, and the season with the Tribble thing is one of their best. When Worf joins the cast, I think things got really interesting. It's good. It's really good.
Okay. Wow, a lot of people love it. A lot of people say it's the best of the Trek series.
Yeah, you just have to kind of hunker down and get out of the era we were in at the time, which was Space Station.
Yeah.
Babylon 5's better.
Everything's coming to them. They need to be going and exploring and going to everything.
Yeah, like like B'Elanna Torres.
You're not going to learn anything from being with these lollipops.
There you go. That's her from last week. Daryl, it's been a pleasure. He is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Follow him there. He has things to say and stuff to do it with. I don't know what that means. He is also one half of This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, a fine podcast all about Star Trek. He leaves us now. I can't find your thing anymore. I have too many new things. Hold on. Here's your new.
He's made of tough blue plastic and has a bright red cape.
All right, that's your new theme. So tell us, alien or mineral? Let's play.
Okay, Proxinian.
Proxinian.
Proxinian. Huh.
Proxinian.
I'm going to say alien on that one.
I'm going to... Let's make it interesting. I'll say mineral.
Oh, but it's... It may be interesting, but it's not right. It's an alien from
DS9. Damn it. Say, oh, look, DS9, Brian. It's a sign.
Oh, see? Oh, I'm going to look for them.
Get on there. Hey, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by Retro, 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 the multi-format throwback video game magazine. Just search for the word retro on Kickstarter and support it today.
Let's see how they're doing here. Kickstarter.com. I meant to follow up on this because this is something I'm actually pretty excited about. I'm a big fan of traditional, like, magazine format stuff. Even though we're in the world of digital now, I think magazines have a place. There's a way to make them, curate them in a way that makes them valuable and cool again.
Oh, yeah, I've been subscribing and enjoying Geek Positive. I love the essay style. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the New Yorker for geeks, really. If they just had cartoons and make your own captions, I think it'd be spot on.
Oh, they've actually, they funded, and it just funded on the 3rd.
And they did it. Then support it in other ways because you're not going to support it on Kickstarter.
Subscribe to it is what you'll want to do now.
I probably should have gotten in on that too. I missed out. I was late. So I guess I'm going to have to get it after it's...
If you like retro gaming at all, this is going to be badass. So totally stoked for those guys. And I think we had an interview coming up with the publisher. Anyway, I'll keep people informed on that. Utah woman. What's her power? What does Utah woman do?
Utah woman shares her husband with 11 sister wives.
Oh, TLC.
Vulnerabilities are magic underwear, Excelsior.
Perfect. Let all the stereotypes fly. I like it.
Yes, exactly.
Utah woman gives birth to a 14-pound baby. I like the local stories here. By the way, I'm in a place, when you're out here again, you'll see, but I have got the most amazing view. I can see both mountain ranges, east and west, clear as day. So we're kind of elevated just slightly. Wow. And you can see you are surrounded by these just gorgeous mountain ranges. It is amazing right now. I had no expectation for that, but the view is incredible.
Now
anyway.
You said you moved over kind of in the area where the movie theater was.
I can literally drive a car less than a minute and be at that movie theater.
Okay.
I can walk to it in 5-10 minutes. So that's how close I am.
All right.
Literally, I can.
Literally. That's good. Actually, you know, that was good use of the word literally. Yeah. We were talking about that the other night.
Yeah. I hate that word. I use it too much, and I also hate it. When Saren Brandon gave birth to a Joel Brandon Jr. at Timpanogos Regional Hospital in Orem, Utah. That's south from here. Timpanogos, by the way, is a mountain. And when John Funk was here visiting, we went and saw him. Mm-hmm. And met up at a somewhere. I don't remember where we went, but he couldn't pronounce that. He thought it was Timpanogos. Tampon no-goes or something
tampon
like that.
Tampon no-goes.
Which is not it at all. Anyway, born on May 9th, he weighed a whopping 14 pounds. I don't know why this story just showed up as new news today, because May 9th was a while ago. Mm-hmm. He was delivered
He's driving a car now, actually.
I guess. He had to, I had to deliver him instead of, What? I had to deliver him. Oh, have two deliver him instead of one. Two doctors had to pull him out.
Had to have two deliver him instead of one. Yeah. Okay.
They struggled to get him
out. Why not just put one of those little brackets and put doctors in there?
Why
not
that? Is that so hard? Jeez. JJ had to spend his first 10 days of his life in the neonatal intensive care unit because of lung problems. He had been happy and healthy since leaving the hospital. I'm here to report since May. Doing just fine. Eating his peas and carrots.
Good.
Wobbling around. But here's the question. The lady, so usually you think, oh, that's got to be some like 900-pound, never leaves the house, piano box lady,
sure.
Right? But she's not. She's like a normal-ass lady.
Well, she is now.
Well, I mean,
now
she was she even, has... but even then, she just looked really pregnant, but she didn't, you know, she wasn't like, oh, I'm eating nothing but butter and shit for the next six weeks before this kid's born.
She's a lovely woman.
Yeah, just normal. So anyway. Surprising things.
You know, I bowl with a 14-pound bowling ball, and I can't even imagine carrying that around day in and day out.
Yes.
Sleeping with that, you know.
Did you know that I've actually...
Attached to your belly.
This is related somewhat, but I have dispelled a very specific racial stereotype in my life experience.
Okay.
And it was this. People think all Asian people are short, right? Mm-hmm. Many Asian people are short, but it's not because of their racial design or you know, makeup or whatever, their DNA or any of that. It's not that. That has never been the reason that Asian people are generally short. They're generally short because their diet differs in such ways that they don't eat stuff that creates a lot of bone growth and stuff like that. Here in the States, here's how I know this in particular, okay? Grew up with Korean brother, Korean sister, two sisters and a Korean brother, all of whom spent, like my brother especially, spent a good amount of his early life in Korea, in an orphanage. And they eat mostly like kimchi and you know, cabbages and, you know, it was a pretty limited diet. Comes to the States, he's a tiny little dude, little shorty man, always has been. His kids, oh, and his wife, also from Korea, little shorty, total tiny. And she spent most of her life there too.
Little shorty, total tiny.
Total tiny. Little shorty, total tiny. That's a great name for something.
Something, I don't know what, but yeah.
And their kids, though, gargantuan height.
Mm-hmm.
All of them incredibly tall. Their son is going to be probably 6'4 by the time he's done. So what does that tell me? It only tells me one thing.
Something in the water.
They grew up eating Doritos and too much milk and a lot of beef and just, you know, all this stuff with growth hormone in it and everything else. That has to be the case. So all you bigoted, everyone's short in China, you guys need to just back off. It's because they don't have access to your pork rinds and your
Doritos and
right.
Red Bull. Red Bull
different.
Gives you growth spurts.
Well, now at least we have in these fine United States access to the international hit that is called Crocodile, the flesh-eating drug. We talked about this a bit
fantastic.
Before.
Fantastic. Yeah, yes.
This is a bit of a follow-up. Reported in Columbus, Ohio now. So a new state. Authorities in Columbus say they may have encountered their first case of the flesh-eating drug. Homeless man in Columbus. What is
homeless
the
man.
Yeah, what's his power in Columbus? Specifically in Columbus, because every city has a homeless man.
Yes.
He has to be special there.
Columbus homeless man is, his powers are, he doesn't know whether he's on the north side or the south side of Ohio. Excelsior. He's central.
Nice. That's an awful power. It's a really bad.
Horrible power.
Bad power. Let's see. He told medics he'd been using the drug, which derives its name from the green-black lesions it leaves on the skin after its injection. The patient had a large open wound, and which is consistent with what they've been seeing. The trend when people use this type of drug, Deputy Fire Chief Jim Davis, heir to the Garfield cartoon fortune, told WBNS TV on Friday. This is Jim Davis, right? Yeah, Jim Davis writes Garfield. Is that right?
Jim Davis.
Yeah, that guy has the same name. Other cases of the homemade morphine derivative have been reported in Arizona, Illinois, and Oklahoma. To date, the Drug Enforcement Administration has not confirmed the presence of crocodile in the United States, although cases in the Chicago suburbs came under investigation in October after a local doctor reported seeing the drug's telltale gangrenous lesions. Brian, I'm not taking any crocodile.
Yeah, no, I have no plan for any of that. Thank you.
They think that misspelling's fooling people.
Like, the fact that it's crocodile?
Yeah. K-R-O-K-O-D-I-L. Like, we have made it sound weird enough, no one will know what we're doing. That sound like an idiot on the reservation at the casino.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, hey, welcome to the Wild Feather Casino. If you like the presidential suite.
Yeah.
Table games are on the list. You get a free stack of chips.
I'll stop now. Audible.com sponsoring today's program. Yes. Audible.com, one of my favorite resources on the internet. I didn't even know Amazon bought them out, and here's how I didn't know, because they seem to just continue doing their great service with or without Amazon. They didn't need no Jeff Bezos to kick it into gear. But there's something also about that I like, because it means they got all this backing, right? They got all this like money and support and
angel investor,
all this stuff behind them. So I love it even more. But if you want to get a great audiobook, then audible.com is your place to check it out. I was reminded yesterday, who said it on Twitter? Crap. Oh, what's his name? Who calls the show all the time? Does filming in Atlanta. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Dodd Vickers.
Oh, Dodd Vickers.
He sent a thing saying, hey, you guys haven't talked much about how there might be some movement on the new Dark Tower movie with Ron Howard directing and possible Russell Crowe in the lead role and all this stuff. And it got to reminding me how much I love the audiobook versions of the Dark Tower series, specifically the first one and also 4. Man, I love 4. So good. And they're amazing. They're read by amazing narrators, and they're up on audible.com in full, no abridgment. They're just all there, along with hundreds of thousands, literally, of other titles. Abridged, non-abridged, fiction, non-fiction, periodicals, the whole schmear. But we are here to tell you, you can get something for free. Here's all you have to do. Go to audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. That's audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. And get a free audiobook download today of your choice. Dark Tower, great. Something else, fine. The new Neil Gaiman book, which is fantastic. My daughter's reading it right now and loves it.
Yes, The Ocean at the End of the Lane.
Yep, that's the one. All there. Fantastic. There and for the taking. That's audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. Check it out today. We thank them for their support of the morning stream. All these 500 episodes later.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Unhappy Campers. 5 college students journey into the woods for a weekend of whimsical fun, only to be massacred by a backwoods albino with a thirst for carnage. Ugh. Gory, campy, fun. Watch this 80s-inspired horror short at youtube.com, Unhappy Campers Movie.
Unhappy Campers is a brilliant name.
It really is,
a horror movie. I love that. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
Quick note of correction. Someone in the chat room says crocodile is Dutch for crocodile.
Oh, okay.
So is it of Dutch origin? Is that
the drug?
My ignorance is sublime, so I don't know. does anyone know? I don't know. Did that come from there? They'll tell us, I'm sure.
It's Russian.
Oh, it's Russian. Oh, that's even worse. I think we even talked about it being Russian. I just forgot. I think we did that a few days ago. It's been a rough couple of weeks. What am I going to tell you? We're going to BlizzCon this week, though. Fun, yeah?
Yeah,
should be good.
I'm going to Disneyland on Thursday. I'm looking forward to that, too.
I am running into that problem I run into when these things happen. More and more each time I go, everybody wants a piece of the Johnson.
Yeah.
and I've got people trying to schedule me for things or saying, hey, we're doing this party, or hey, we have this tour, or hey, we're doing this thing, and they're all conflicting. Like, everybody wants to do it at the same time, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to have to play it by ear. I'll do my best when I get there. But
I like everyone's doing their work, doing my work for me. Hey, Iceworm, can I get that isolated?
And I just, you know, I have this film to do. That's the main kicker.
Sure.
And I don't know when that means I'm done. So that's the one thing I have to kind of work around. So I'll do my best, everybody. But I am, like, I was talking to Jeff Cannata yesterday on Twitter. We're going to try to hook up and do a little something upstairs in the press area. So there's stuff going down. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to see everybody I'm going to see, including you.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Nude. Just kidding. Take that last part.
But you can touch my head, though.
Oh, what?
It'll be freshly shaved.
Freshly shorn head?
Freshly great. Shorn head.
I love the shorn. I love the word shorn.
Yeah.
Something my great grandpa would say.
Your confession was...
Son, you're not going to church until that beard is shorn, see? We're not making homemade jelly for nothing. All right. Unhappy Camper. Oh, that's another thing. 28 Weeks Later director. Now, you know I'm a fan of the 28 Weeks Later. Yes. I like that one better than the 28 Days Later.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's a better zombie movie. Yeah,
that Rumpelstiltskin in there.
Yeah, he's good in there.
He is really good.
He's one of the naked guys on Full Monty. That was one of his early roles, or roles I remember him from.
I never saw that movie.
That is an amazing film. You should see it. And also as good is, I know you've seen Trainspotting.
Mm-hmm.
He's in that.
Oh, yeah. Right, he's Begbie.
Yeah, he's the really pissed off guy that gets in fights a lot.
Yes, which is crazy. He looks so different with his mustache.
For those listening at home, that's the movie where Obi-Wan Kenobi dives into a toilet.
To retrieve a suppository.
Yeah, yeah. And in his head, it's a much nicer experience than it actually is.
Right.
What a terrible film in that way. Mm-hmm. It seems that author Stephen King is still the go-to guy when it comes to horror adaptations, because this director... Juan Carlo Fresnal Dildo. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Dillo. Sorry, Dillo. Fresnadillo. That's it. Fresnadillo, who directed 28 Weeks Later, has apparently been approached to helm a Pet Sematary remake. Pet Sematary with Fred Gwynn. Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like my ankles hurt at this point in the film. Dumb
slapped me with a knife across my ankle. All of a sudden, I'm a foghorn leghorn.
Wrong.
I say.
You're down in Kentucky. He's way up in Maine. The original Pet Sematary, which is itself an adaptation of a King book, of course, by the same name, I don't know why they had to tell us that, but whatever. Told the story of a family who lived near a cemetery where pets would come back from the dead once buried, and due to the place being an old Indian burial ground. That's bad writing. Gotchamovies.com. That's terrible writing. When news of the Pet Sematary remake came out, veteran horror directors Alexandra Aja? How would you say that last name? A-J-A.
Asia. Alexandra Aja. Aha.
Aha. Aha and Asia finally in concert together. All he
No kidding. How come those two never toured together?
What happened there?
Yeah. Get on it, Morton Harkett.
Since then, let's see, Alexander has left the project for unknown reasons, and Juan Carlo Fresnel Dio has taken his place. Matt Greenberg and Matt
Kajanik.
See, that's a hard one.
I think the JG is like a y sound. Kajanik.
No one's ever Smith or Jones in these towns in Hollywood.
No.
They're set to write the screenplay and make this remake. So there you go. I'm actually kind of excited about that, to be honest. I like good remakes.
It's much better than the reboot that was going to be called Pet Seminary.
No, that would have been terrible.
That's been really, yeah.
Little cats with like little collars on. Little priest collars. Sister, bring me the rectory. Or I don't know what any of those things are. Ender's Game, number one in the box office. Even despite threats of boycotting it. Because people don't like the...
So is that the thing that finally unseated Gravity was Ender's Game?
I think so.
Okay.
I think this is the week. I don't think last week I think they're still number one.
They were.
This is the Orson Scott Card book adaptation, which a lot of people are trying to boycott because Orson Scott Card, he don't like them gays. Yeah. He ain't into them gays, so he said a lot of bad stuff about them gays. Hey, Nick, what are you doing home from school already? Hold on, I got to hear the news. Beep, 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 this just in. Nick's not at school. Why? What's up? Oh, you can't be in school yet because you're not officially registered. We tried to do all this over the weekend and we couldn't.
Oh, right, because he's changing schools.
So tomorrow.
Free day!
Still back today. You just have to, okay. All right, cool.
Break out the PS3!
Break it, woo! Yeah, PS3, woo! Good day for Nick to be home. Anyway, I've been nervous for my kids. I've been having a lot of, what's the word? Anxiety, but like, what's it called when you have
empathy,
sympathy pains or something.
Okay. Gotcha.
For them. I just know how this is. Yes. Yeah. There you go. This has got Harrison Ford, some kid you don't know. Stuff going on in there. What else about this movie? It did well. So
yeah,
there you
have it. So we went and saw the Las Vegas movie this weekend. Yep. Robert De Niro, Morgan Freeman. I remember the last time I was on the Las Vegas Strip.
That's right. It wasn't with these three old farts.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Kevin, or not Kevin Kline, but Michael Douglas. I think with his new hairstyle and his orange face, he is a shoo-in to play Beavis. Or no, he's going to play Butthead in the live-action Beavis and Butthead.
He does look weird. He looks weird. I don't know.
Man, it's like his hair is like it starts all the way at the top of his head and then goes straight up from there.
It looks weird. You're right.
And the movie it's probably about on par with like I'd say it's, on par with Bridesmaids and stuff like that, where going into it, you see a swimming pool. Oh, somebody's going to fall in fully clothed. Mm-hmm. Somebody is drunk at a bar and they see a woman with their back to them. You know it's going to be a transvestite.
Mm. It's all written. It's all you see the street signs before you get there.
It was written by Tropy McTroperson
from Troperville, Trope Town.
Exactly. That said, I mean, it's
Tropy McTroperson.
It's
not it like horrible. Space Cowboys? It's like that.
Very much. It's basically, when John Travolta says, I could use a new motorcycle. Then he says, all right, let's go do a movie called Roadhogs.
Yeah, dude, that's it. Roadhogs is the other one.
I'd like to fly on one of those airplanes that weigh the gravity. Right. Okay, well, let's go do Space Cowboys.
Michael Douglas came through.
I'd like to plan a trip to Las Vegas to hang out with some of my friends. Then, all right, let's do Las Vegas.
I came out clean on the other side.
That's right.
Yeah.
It all falls into those same kind of movies.
I suspect I'll see more movies now that theater's so close. Big giant IMAX thing, yeah. I'll probably go see something this weekend.
Open your window and probably hear them.
I'm sorry, not this weekend. I'll be in Anaheim. Forget it, not this weekend.
That's right.
The weekend after.
Thor comes out this weekend.
I'll bet people try to go. I don't know if they will or not.
Yeah, I promised my uncle I'd wait until I got back, so I ain't going.
I promised Nick, too, so I'm not going yet. Courtney Stodden, finally in the news. And by the way, Orson Scott Card, bigoted as he is, and he is a bigoted this way. His that book's amazing, and it always has been.
The book is great.
And there's no anti-gay stuff in it. It's just Ender's Game is incredible. And
what's the Rotten? I'm pulling it up right now. I was gonna look at the Rotten Tomatoes.
Wasn't
for Ender's
too
Game.
Bad. I want to say it was in the 70s.
So people are liking 62.
Oh, down some from when I last saw it.
A little bit down.
Yeah, that's not bad. Not great.
44 for Las Vegas.
Thor already doing well at 84. That's good.
Yep.
Birth of the Living Dead. 100%.
100%. I've not even.
I don't
heard
know what that is, dude.
Oh, it's like a biopic about George Romero.
Oh, well, I'd watch that.
I don't
that.
Know if it's a documentary or if it's like a fiction, not fictionalized, but dramatized.
Let's see. Looks like a documentary.
61% for Bad Grandpa, which is actually what the original name of Las Vegas was going to be.
I'm excited about that. Yeah, that's bad. There you go.
94% for Captain Phillips. Yeah. It just came out the wrong time. It came out too close to Gravity to be able to.
Yeah, it's behind Gravity now.
Yeah.
Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. That's doing all right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Lots of stuff at the theaters.
There's
if you'd
plenty
like
to
go
see.
See a movie.
It's Oscar season. They'll come out the other end covered in shit on the other side. Courtney Stodden and Doug Hutcherson have called it quits, Brian.
What?
We have covered for the 500 episodes we've done. One consistency has been the advent of these two, the life of these two, and now the end of these two.
The end. And this surprises me completely because I did not see this coming. I honestly thought that this relationship would end in a murder-suicide.
I thought that's a fair prediction. I always knew it was a matter of time, but who knew it would be now? Courtney Stodden, age 19 now, 16 when they got married. And Doug Hutchinson, age 53, are ending their three-year relationship, according to Radar Online. Sources told the tabloid the child bride is heartbroken since busting out of her marriage. Nice.
Well played.
Huffpo. After receiving parental permission to tie the knot in May 2011 at the age of 16, they appeared on the reality show Couples Therapy to defend their controversial relationship. Additional sources attribute the breakup to Staudin's growing publicity, saying Doug knew he was taking a risk with that marriage, but he genuinely fell in love with Courtney and didn't know or realize how much his life would be changed after they got married. Really? Shut up. Is he a complete idiot? That's bullcrap.
I think the big problem is that you're married to Doug Hutchinson and you're not old enough to drink to forget right. that you're married to Doug Hutchinson.
Exactly. Exactly. The lost shine is wearing off.
Right.
His exactly. season 6 lost shine is no longer there. This entire episode brought to you by TweakedAudio.com. TweakedAudio.com, designing earbuds for you with amazing styles and colors, all designed to sound great no matter what you plug them into. Engineered for durability and a lifetime warranty, everybody. I would like you to go check out Tweaked Audio right now by going to TweakedAudio.com. And if you buy a pair of earbuds, no matter what they are, you'll get 33% off, a third off, by using the code STREAM at checkout. That's STREAM at checkout at TweakedAudio.com. All right, Brian, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we've got, a big lineup. We got Eric's app review. We have major spoilers. We have the Geek Food Girls in the house, in the his house. Wow. And then after that, even who knows after that what else we have. So between now and then, we probably ought to have some music to break things up. What do you got?
How about a song going out to Derek from Canada? Now, whoa. Derek's got something coming up here. He says, "Hi, Sonata and Bolero. Greetings from the Great White North. I would like to request a song for November 5th or something close. Not sure of the BlizzCon schedule. The day I get my vasectomy." Whoa. "Because of this, I thought a cover of Detachable Pianist or something similar would be appropriate. I really like the old-time style covers or something that's just fun. I leave this to your vast knowledge about musical stuff. Thanks for keeping the dream alive. Johnson/Ibbett for Prime Minister of Canada. Love the slow-mo, Derek from Canada, in Edmonton, just down the street from Halifax." Mm. "Sent from his iPhone." I don't know why I'm reading the sent from my iPhone. I don't know why I'm reading that part.
I hate those things.
It really is. You know, I just, my mouth goes on autopilot as I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there's no cover of Detachable Penis, I'm afraid. I did look around, you know, there's no Cuts Like a Knife, would have been a great one. Or, I decided to go with something. Something that's definitely appropriate. Now, shame on you if you thought this song was originally done by Sheryl Crow, and you can probably be forgiven if you thought Rod Stewart did it first. But the song was originally done by P.P. Arnold, originally released by P.P. Arnold, but it was written by Cat Stevens, who did his own version a little bit later that same year. So he wrote it. Someone else released it before he could release his version. So his version technically becomes the cover. Crazy, huh?
Weird.
The song I'm talking about is "The First Cut Is the Deepest." Seemed appropriate. The version I'm playing is from the Nuggets album, and it comes from the
Also Koobas. Appropriate, by the way.
Yeah, right, the Nuggets. Uh-huh.
No kidding. Nice.
So it's performed by the Koobas. It is a great song, and when you listen to the lyrics in this frame of mind, it really is pretty funny. Here are the Koobas with their cover of "The First Cut Is the Deepest."
We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
I would have given you all of my heart, but somebody else has torn it apart, and they've taken almost all that I've got. But if you want, I'll try to love again. Baby, I'll try to love again, 'cause I
just to help me dry the tears that I've cried. And I'm sure I'm gonna give you a try. And if you want, I'll try to love again. Baby, I'll try to love again. Cause I
a butterscotch has got to convince you.
Hey, listen, Doris, this isn't pudding.
Why isn't this pudding pudding?
Because it's too rich, too smooth, too creamy, and because I like it. And we know I don't like pudding.
New, cool, and creamy frozen pudding from Bird's Eye. The pudding that's too good to be pudding.
What?
Greetings, Earth Lady. May I interest you in some guacamole? This is the morning stream.
Dip, 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 dip. We're back. It was lovely.
Yeah. It's a little different than the stuff we usually plan here, but...
It's good. I'm not complaining.
Not too bad. Pretty good.
All right, I think we'll try. Let's see who's online first, because that's the trick.
Who's available, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I think Eric's our best shot, actually. Okay. Yeah, he looks like he's on first, because probably Schleicher's stuck in whatever he's doing. He's a busy guy. He's got stuff going on.
Yeah, for sure.
We understand. We understand his pain. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now while we do this. Oh, I love this theme. It's always just fun to play it, because we don't have a regular show anymore, so now's the way we do it.
App Slappy.
Eric saying hello sounded like another sound clip to put in there. That was great. Eric, what's going on?
I didn't mention pudding, though.
No, you didn't mention pudding. Actually, you haven't.
Supposed to?
Well, you have to pronounce it like. I already lost it again. Oh.
Disguised as pudding.
Pudding. It's got to be pudding. Pudding. Can you do that?
I love pudding monsters in game.
So,
Sebastian,
Eric's with us as always on Mondays to talk about an app to review. We weren't here last week because we were moving. That feels like a year ago, by the way, to me. But it's good to have you back, Eric. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Nice singing.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man.
500 shows. Did you like my singing?
I did. It was incredible. Yes. I've never heard such tonal perfection in my life. It was incredible stuff.
Well, this, you know how sad my singing is actually, I auto-tuned my voice, so that's how bad my singing is.
That you did? You auto-tuned it? That's great.
Well, I did. I corrected it as much best as I could.
That's great. I had no idea.
come on. I'm a musician. I have the tools.
That's right. Who's that guy? Van Cleef or Cleve Van Flim Flam? The guy that does the Black Eyed Peas. What's his name?
Will.i.am.
Will.i.am. Van Cleef.
Wow. Yeah. That's,
you're talking about the Dead Minds?
Yeah. No, it's just everything he does, right, is all... Yeah. Isn't that his, all he's known for that. Yes. He's blue. I think I'm a guy. Or that's a different song.
Yeah. But, I didn't do it to where it's like the T-Pain effect or anything like that.
No. What happened to T-Pain? Remember, it was like he was all the talk for a while there. Yeah, what happened
T-Pain
to him?
Was big auto-tuning guy. I mean, that's the guy who put it on the map.
Yeah.
Well, isn't him and Cher.
Yeah, isn't he gone now? He's done. He's out.
I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, he's off the radar. Well, Eric, it's always good to have you back. We talk about apps here on the program, a little app slappy segment. Usually,
and one thing I was going to say, Mister, you said Tippinogas. I can't believe you didn't mention that it's a cave.
It is a cave. It's a peak, but it's also inside of it. You get to the top and you can go in, and it's a big, giant cave, and it's the kind of cave that... You know, has all the stalactites and stalagmites. I still forget which ones point up or down.
Tights or top?
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, tights or top.
Well, that should be bottoms because tights are usually on the bottom. You know what I mean?
Well, no, but stalactites because it's with a T, so you know it's at the top.
Oh, T top. Got it.
T top.
And mites don't care because you've already said tights. Got it.
Right.
Because exactly. The opposite would be there's no middle one.
Stalagmites.
Yeah. You know, stalagmites like mud because there's mud on the ground. So.
Oh, but Zula has another one. Stalactites at the top because they hold on tight to the top of the cave.
Oh, geez, you and your T's. You're always crossing your T's and dotting your I's. So here's the thing, though, about that cave. It's one of those ones you see in movies and stuff. Like deep and has lots of built-in railings and things. It's got a tour. There's all sorts of crazy light show in there and water coming out of places it shouldn't. It's really cool in there. Eric, I'm sure you've been in there, yeah?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
we did too. As a kid, you'd go there all the time. It was like a big...
Yeah, but I just thought that was curious. You didn't mention the cave.
No, I just mentioned the tampon no-goes or whatever John called it while he was here. So what do you got today? What's the app? What's burning a hole in your iOS?
What is the app today? Yeah. Oh, wow. Am I supposed to have an app today?
Yeah, that's the deal. That's how we do it.
Is that how we do it?
Your rating today will be what, Brian?
Five Ibbit heads?
How many? Yeah, we'll do Ibbit heads, sure.
Five Ibbit heads. I heard like that in the song.
Yeah, that was pretty good. So what do you got? What is it?
Actually, today I have a little video app.
Oh.
Yeah, it's called Spark.
Spark. I've heard of this.
With a Q? Is that the one?
No, with a K, just like it sounds. S-P-A-R-K. But it should be called Sparse. just the way it's designed. It's very iOS 7-esque.
Is it useful, though, in terms of... Is it sparse, have enough tools? Or what do you mean by that? It just looks sparse?
Well, it just the way it looks. It's very, very minimal design, but it does a great job of everything. It has a whole bunch of different effects you can apply to your video. It does the whole kind of like Vine thing where you hold the whole touch the screen to record, and you take your finger off, and so you can do on-the-fly editing. The cool thing is the effects are non-destructive, so you can actually save your video, and then if you want to change the filter later... You know, you can, and applying the effects is very cool. You just swipe as you go, you know, when you're watching your video to apply the different effects. You can add music to your video.
I've seen a bunch of these pop up on Instagram. Is that what I'm seeing? Is Instagram videos generated in that thing? Because they're doing stuff that Instagram definitely is not doing on its own natively.
Possibly, but the only, I don't understand is these apps always have a time limit to them. Mm. I mean, there's no reason why this has a time limit, and that you only can record 30 seconds of video.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, why do they do that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's no reason for this app because, you know, you can save them directly to your camera roll, so I don't even know why you'd want to limit how much time you can record. But then, you know, once you process a video, you can have all the options of sharing them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, you know, message it, email it.
The full name is Spark Camera? Is that the one?
I don't know if it's camera.
It says Spark Camera. IDEO makes it. IDEO.
Well, it's a red button.
Yeah, big like red button with a rainbow ring around it.
That's the one.
Okay. I'm going to try it. It looks interesting to me.
No, it's great with what it does. It's just my only thing. I was very surprised that you only can do 30 seconds. A video on it. I mean, it's great because you can also, like, if you do a take and you don't like, you can go do it has an undo button, so you can go back and cycle through like a take you did that you didn't like and delete it.
Oh, that's how bad my right eye is getting. I'm trying to read the description text on here, and it's just that's a topic for tomorrow. I gotta tell you all about how rapidly my right eye is going down the pit.
Oh, wait, geez. So isn't the left eye got operated on?
Yeah, left eye had the surgery, and it's been fine. And it's been great, in fact. But I actually think in the current working theory is the reason the right eye is going to crap so quick is because how well the left eye has done.
Yeah, it's created a lazy eye.
Yeah, that eye's going, well, I don't have to do all the work anymore. And then, like, accelerated cataract, and it's just, like, blurrier.
Are you getting another cataract in the other one?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, got to go take that one out. So now... When that's all done, here's the beauty. People watch me at home. No more glasses while I work when you see me here. When I get this surgery, these will come off, and all my distance here will be locked for both eyes.
Wow.
And because right now, this left lens has nothing in it. It's just glass. not corrected at all, this left lens.
But I'm curious, will that make you farsighted?
It will make me essentially nearsighted, just a different nearsightedness than I used to have. So then the only time I have to wear glasses are like movies or driving or something. So it's actually a really good thing. Ultimately, it's actually a better, I'll have a matching pair of eyes. That's the beauty of this change will be, they will both eyes will now be the same, which I've never had in my life. It's always been this huge disparity between my two eyeballs. So I'm really excited about that. Anyway.
Because that's interesting, because like I'm my contacts make me farsighted, so I need glasses to read.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yes. If you have... Some people, yeah, there's all these differences. For me, it's just, I'll never be able to adjust again. It'll be locked at a certain distance, but I'll never have to, they'll never get worse than that unless I get some other, you know, like
macular. No, I'm just saying, but then once you get the operation, you can see better your distance. You can see fine distance-wise.
When I get that operation, I'll need glasses for distance.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I'll need that either way. I'll have 20/20 at screen distance. On both eyes. Right now I have it on my left eye. My right eye is the one that's going to crap. And when I get this done, I will be perfect 20/20 to my screen without any corrective anything. But beyond that or closer than that, because it locks it into that distance. So further than that or closer than that, I get blurry. That's how it'll be when this is done.
So, gotcha.
Yeah, another 8 minutes in heaven or whatever they call it.
Because I was born with cataracts.
I know. They had to take them out the minute you pooped out, right?
No, they didn't know I had cataracts until I was 3 years old.
Oh, well, then there you go. And back then they went through your butt, right? It was all anal? It was all rectal? Do I have that right? Maybe not.
Not quite.
Okay, fine.
But the thing is, since they didn't catch it until I was three, my brain kind of gave up on my left eye.
Oh, that's right. And you were telling me, so I know this is off the path, folks, from the app, but you told me once that you can't really describe what your left eye sees.
Yes.
Now, I know this feeling because my left eye is kind of the same thing. It's kind of been left to the dogs. And now that it's actually got good vision, if I close my right eye and just use my left eye, there's something going wrong, but I couldn't tell you what it is. It's an odd feeling.
Everything's clear. I can't say anything's blurry, but it's just, I can't see very well.
Yeah. It's a perception. It's like a wiring problem.
Yeah, there's no way you can't, I couldn't sit down at the computer and say, okay, well, draw what something looks like. It's something you can't.
Yeah, it's very odd.
It's a mental thing.
I think you have it worse than I do, but yeah, it's where our neural pathways have been burned in, and now we're telling it to do something else, and it doesn't know how to handle it.
Nope.
Yeah. Anyway, so how many bald Brians would you give it?
newly shorn, shaved.
Shaved Brian?
Brian heads.
Did we lose Brian? Where is he?
Brian?
Hello, Brian. You'd go take a poo? Is he off camera? Somebody? Chat room, did he leave? Did he go someplace? Okay, he did. He went AFK. He's somewhere. So we'll call him bald short Brian heads. There you go. Oh, he even told us in the chat. Sorry.
Yeah. What did he say?
I think he just said disappearing for 45 seconds. Gotta. Oh, he has to go pee. Oh, no, the dog has to go pee. That's a euphemism for he has to take a dump.
You can do it in 45 seconds. That's right. Impressive.
That's pretty impressive. Wham, bam, boom, slam. Done. Out.
I'd give it a 4.
4 out of 5. Four. Not bad.
Yeah, it's well done. I just wish you could do more time recording video.
Yeah, me too. I think these limits are dumb. I don't understand them. Is it meant to be like a Vine publishing platform as well, where you're like...
No. There's no social aspect to it whatsoever. It's just you creating your videos.
That seems like you wouldn't want to limit that, but what do I know?
What do you know?
I don't know anything. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Eric Van Skyhawk.
And congratulations on 500 episodes.
Thanks, man.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Most people fade way before they get to 500, and here we are still going.
Yeah, what did AppSlappy get to?
We did all right. 200 and
I know.
Way beyond the norm. People... I don't know what the average is, but people rarely get to 100 even when it comes to shows. So yeah.
But now we have AppSlappy Light.
That's right. AppSlappy Light here on Mondays. Hakito on Twitter. Go get his new album. It's out there now. Shattered by Skyhawk. You can find it on iTunes or Amazon MP3. And what else? Is that it? That's it.
That's it.
Eric, stay out of trouble, and we'll talk to you next time.
See ya.
Later. Bye now. Oh,
there's there's Brian.
I didn't know if you'd noticed.
No, we did. We had a little conversation about it because we were trying to argue what the rating should be, and we settled on shorn bald Brian's. So
shorn Ibbot Noggins.
It all worked fine.
It's funny. Had a dog issue that had to get taken care of.
It's all good.
Is she
all right? She good now?
Oh, yeah, she's fine. Yeah, she just comes next to my desk and like breathes heavy with her mouth wide open, like, I gotta pee.
That's never good. That's never good. Exactly. All right, we are bringing in this guy right
here. Hello.
Look at this. Ladies and gentlemen, the sultry sounds, the singing voice extraordinaire.
Hello,
of Mr. Schleicher. Steven, we heard you in the little 500 tribute this morning, and that was amazing. Your part,
worst
maybe
singing ever,
maybe my favorite part of the whole thing. If I was going to give a grade, I'd give you an A.
That would be
that was really good.
Thank you.
I really liked it.
Happy 500 episodes.
Thanks, man. Well, it's thanks. And happy. I don't know how long you've been with us as a segment, but it's been near that. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, and it's crucial to our Mondays. So huge thanks to you for helping us make the show what
it
is.
Not a problem. Enjoy being here every Monday.
Oh, good.
But I can't.
He is the purveyor of majorspoilers.com, one of my favorite geek culture websites dealing with comics, movies, and more. Mm-hmm. You guys should be checking it out if you have not. And he comes on Mondays with a big basket of good stuff that we get to talk about. Let's start off, first of all, with the most important thing by far, the Major Spoilers Podcast Award nomination.
Yes. Yay! I'm so excited about that.
Yeah. What category are you in? I forget.
Somehow cultural arts.
Yeah. Cultural arts.
Culture.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, because we are so highbrow at Major Spoilers. with all of our font jokes and booby jokes.
Yeah, exactly. It's up for the nomination there, so you guys need to vote every day. We've been telling them to go vote, and yours is one to vote for.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yes, vote for the Major Spoilers podcast at podcastawards.com and vote daily because you can. All right, tell me about DC Comics picking up everything, packing up and moving west. What the hell is that about?
Well, I don't know if it's a huge surprise, but rumors started circulating last week that DC was going to close its comic book offices. I mean, there's basically two parts of DC Comics now. You've got the West Coast division and the East Coast division still in New York. You've got Geoff Johns and Jim Lee, who is the co-chief editor out there at the West Coast. You've got Geoff Johns, who's the chief creative officer, and you have Diane Nelson, who's the president of DC Entertainment, all out on the West Coast. Dan DiDio, the other co-editor-in-chief, is the East Coast. It really, when Diane Nelson took over a couple of years ago, people should have seen the writing on the wall that at some point they were going to ask people to close up the offices in New York and move out to the West Coast to I think they're moving to Burbank so that they can be closer to the Warner Brothers studios and try to get some of that all-important synergy going. So they're talking to people this week. People will be given the opportunity to move out west. Now, certainly a lot of people will not make that move.
Sure.
It'll keep everyone in one central location.
That seems good, right? Like creatively, maybe? Or organizationally speaking?
From an organizational standpoint, sometimes it's good to have some of your creatives so close to one another. I know at one point Jim Lee and Dan DiDio were flying back and forth from East Coast to West Coast multiple times per week. Yep. Anytime that they're working on any kind of a movie or anything like that, there's been a lot of flights back and forth with the comic book creators. You know, one time it would have been crazy to say that comic books were leaving New York City because that was the central hub for everything. And certainly Marvel is still headquartered right there. But DC moving out west, probably not as big a deal as people are letting on, because we've got creators in Seattle and Dallas and Kansas City and Utah and all over the place. And the company still is able to keep on keeping on.
Yeah. The Utah guys are amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, video game development is huge here these days. You can't walk 5 feet without running into like an EA or a Disney executive or somebody who's making video games. It's crazy.
Yeah, no kidding. And say what you want about their movies, but boy, their video games have been fantastic. Yeah. I haven't tried that Arkham Origins yet. That's only PS3. They're not going to have a PS4.
Next-gen plans on that? That's a really good question. I mean, it's on PC, so they've got all the high-res textures better visual thing going on there. So they could easily port it, but I don't think they've announced it. That's a really good question.
I got it. I would have remembered to pre-order
Assassin's Creed.
Right. Yeah. I did order. Assassin's Creed's doing that. That's true. They're doing next gen.
Yeah, and if you buy the PS3 version now, it's $10, and you get the PS4 version when it comes out.
Same as the new Modern Warfare game.
Modern Warfare does it,
or the Ghosts or whatever it is. Call of Duty.
Call of Duty Ghosts.
Yeah, a few others like that too. And then there's some Xbox ones that do that also. I forget which ones, but Yeah, I my PS4 will be here in, what, a week and a half?
Two weeks? Yeah, a week 16. And a half, yeah. Yep.
Weird. That'll be fun. I'm excited.
2 weeks.
what else we got here? Oh, I saw this. The X-Men Days of Future Past, yeah. First trailer released. We've all seen it.
Looks pretty crazy.
You know, mm-hmm. That is way more what I hoped, I think. I mean, it's a trailer, so mm-hmm. We'll see. But I'm getting the vibe off that thing that, oh, no, this isn't just cameos from the old guys.
No. This is integrated.
Like, full on, like, you're going to have these two time frames working together in a mm-hmm. very comic booky kind of way.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see this.
I'm excited, man. It's the only time travel I like is comic book time travel. I don't like the other ways. Really, because there's
like
already
88 miles per hour time travel. Well, that's the best.
there's already kind of a thick layer of bullcrap on comics anyway.
Oh yeah.
And so because of that, you it's easier to park your brain and go, who cares? It's fun. It's fun, sure. And I don't have to think about it. But you know, you watch something like Looper, and you want to tear it apart in every little way because for some reason those things drive you to do that. With comic book movies, the time travel stuff doesn't get stuck in my craw. I don't mind it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because you're suspending your disbelief so much anyway. What's a little time travel and actors who don't look anything like one another playing the same role?
I don't think it spoils anything, but I do think people should watch it.
I love all the little cameos in the trailer mm-hmm. of folks like Bishop, and I'm guessing that's Blink with the tattoos on her face.
I think so. Now, the one thing I would say is while it's based on the comic book arc, which was mm-hmm. only like two or three issues, mm-hmm. I'm going to have a feeling that they're going to deviate from that quite a bit.
Mm. To its credit or not? You think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to make a prediction on that yet. But I have a feeling just from some of the things that are said and some of the things that we see in the trailer that there's quite a bit of deviation from this and the original arc.
Yeah. Well, I just like that we were seeing all these old faces. I didn't know Sookie was back. I had no idea. She was roguing it up.
Yeah.
So that was good to see. There was somebody else I saw. The Iceman dude.
Yeah, mm-hmm. with the facial hair, right? Yeah.
Well, it's him and his, I don't know which, he's got a twin brother that's on that show with Kevin Bacon.
The following. Yeah,
that's not him. It's his brother, or it's the other way around. Yeah, the pudding. But I don't know which one. I don't know which dude is which. So I don't know who's playing who on what. But that guy has a twin, and that guy's always in other stuff. And they're the twins that are really hard to tell apart. So as far as I know, they were the same guy. But then I found that out. Anyway, bottom line is everybody's looking great. Lots of Logan. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Picard. Lots of Gandalf.
What's his name? Who plays Magneto?
Oh, right.
The young guy, Fassbender.
Fassbender's right? in it, yep. Fassbender, yeah. So it's just all these guys just,
it's like the greatest X-Men greatest hits.
Yeah, there's Jennifer Lawrence while she's young, and there's what's her name?
Ellen Page.
Oh, really? Was Rebecca?
Romaine Lettuce is in that, too, yeah.
Oh, I didn't see her in the, I'll have to look at the preview again. I must have missed her.
She's in there for like one shot, real quick.
Gotcha. So who knows how much of her we get, but John Stamos, I hear, is coming back as no. I don't know. I couldn't tell who was playing Beast. Was that, are we back to the British kid, or is that? I know it's obviously not Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer.
No, I couldn't tell who that was. Kelsey Grammer's passed that. I think he's passed that offer. I think he's done with that. But it wasn't. But I also the guy that played Nightcrawler in the movie. What was his name?
Alan
Cumming.
Alan
Cumming. He's not in it, as best I can tell. So who knows? It looks great. So whatever.
Can I throw out just a little bit of a rumor that I've been hearing in related to Marvel Studios and the X-Men franchise? Obviously, 20th Century Fox owns the X-Men franchise, and they're not allowing Marvel or Disney to use any of the characters in the movie. So that means when you're looking at Avengers, it's really hard to get Wolverine into the Avengers in this way. There's an event going on right now at Marvel called Inhumanity, and Inhumanity looks at the New Gods. Black Bolt and Medusa.
The Inhumans,
yeah. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And the rumor is that they're going to spend the Inhumanity is that people are born with these traits that they've been seeded throughout generations as a way to get around the X-Men franchise and introduce mutants without using the term mutants in the Marvel movie universe.
Interesting. Really?
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of now, sneaking. It's a way of sneaking in.
It's a backdooring.
Yeah.
Now, you still wouldn't be able to use Logan or Wolverine or Cyclops or any of those guys, but you could create mutant capabilities inside that.
You mean the characters you know and love. We can't use those.
Right.
Sure.
So you're caught up. I'm guessing you have to be all caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, not yet. I still haven't watched that.
He's a binger. No. He's like me.
I'm going to binge. Really?
I still haven't seen it.
I'm going to binge.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen
it.
It's
not a spoiler for me to say that there is there's a character in one of the episodes that is an Asian guy who has the ability to control fire.
Oh, yeah, cool. Interesting. That's cool.
And I'm guessing because of 20th Century Fox's ownership of the X-Men, that's why he wasn't called Sunfire in the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sunfire wasn't calling him a mutant. Maybe they could just call him, hey, you've got a special mutation.
Well, saying any more would be it's a spoiler, but...
It could all come from cows and call it a mutation. Come on now. Mutation.
Utterly ridiculous, Scott.
It's utterly terrible. I can't think of another one. It's horny. No, that doesn't work either. All right, moving on. Adam's Family headed to the big screen as an animated movie. Who's behind this? Who's doing the work on this?
This is... who is this? This is MGM with Pamela Petier writing it. She did the Corpse Bride animated movie.
I love that.
And Andrew Mittman and Kevin, I don't know how to say these people's last names. Misurachi.
It's Hollywood, dude. Hollywood is all, they all have jacked up names. I don't know what's
the
going
main
on.
Thing is this is not in any way related to the original or not the the live action movie that came out, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. No way related to that, and definitely not live action. So it's going to be animated. I know a lot of people are asking that, or that they're hoping that it's based on the Adams original cartoons.
Right, the Charles Adams style.
Yeah, where it
style.
Has that look. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of interesting.
That'd be really neat. Yeah, it's like taking Bruce Timm stuff and trying to, you know, make cool cartoons mm-hmm. based on his style, and done that pretty successfully. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to see. I would like that if they went for that look.
This is all pre-production stage. There's no actors or voices or anything cast or picked, or there's not even a release date. It's just that they're moving forward with the project.
I'm looking forward to it, actually. I think the Addams Family stuff can be done right, and it's interesting. And there's a reason why Brian dressed up for Halloween as Uncle Fester.
That's for sure.
Like he didn't hate it. Also, finally, although it wasn't lost on me how creepy it was that you were Uncle Fester and your wife was Wednesday. It's just a little creepy.
Yeah, I know.
Just a little bit.
There, you know, Uncle Fester doesn't have a wife. There's no Aunt Fester.
I'm not sure Uncle Fester has a body. I think he's just a head floating in a burlap sack. So we got this look at this Star Wars 1313 concept art, and this is for the game that got shown at E3 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. People were flipping out about it, and it got canceled not too long ago. It was originally supposed to be kind of a Boba Fett slash, you know, not Boba Fett specifically, but at the time it was like, okay, here is the seedy underbelly of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah,
of lots
Coruscant.
Of creepy stuff and all that.
Cool. You know, of all the Star Wars games that I've seen, this was the one that I was like, ooh, I want to explore this world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now something's happened, though. There's rumors flying around that this concept art has been rolled into Disney's effort to make a Boba Fett movie, and they're going to use a lot of these concepts
It wouldn't surprise me, because we know that not only are they continuing on with the Star Wars sequels, 7, 8, 9, 12, 13, but they're also looking at a bunch of standalone movies that take place in between these other ones. And people have talked about Han Solo, people have talked about Boba Fett, people have talked about, you know, just exploring the world of different Jedi in this environment. And certainly if you could take Star Wars 1313, go underneath the Coruscant and see what really goes down on those different levels, I think that would be super cool.
Totally
super interesting,
agree.
Especially because it would be totally noir.
Yeah.
It'd be totally dark and creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And throw in some bounty hunter action. That would be pretty good.
It's basically Blade Runner with, you know, it's that kind of vibe. It's raining all the time. It's a terrible place to be. It's, you know.
You've got Bosk and IG-88 running around.
Yeah, dude, that stuff is great. I hope they do. Real quick, how do you title these movies? Here's my theory. Here's what they do. Star Wars Solo is how they do the Han Solo movie. Star Wars Fett is how they do the Boba Fett movie. Like, it's straight up Fett.
You don't want Star Wars Origins?
No, I do not want that.
So that would mean the other movie would be like Star Wars Hutt.
Yeah, Star Wars Hutt, dude. Movie.
For the Yoda one, you just do duh. Star Wars duh.
Yeah. And it would be the Hutt movie would be, you really could have some fun with the whole mobster angle with the mm-hmm. Hutts, because the way Hutts control stuff is so much fun. Like that the way they've done that in the books is really interesting.
And then the MMO was really well done too.
Yeah, it was all right. The way they handled the Hutts, yeah. It would be cool, though, if it was... I mean, the huts are only good when they're just sitting there and everyone's doing their bidding. But I don't, you know, I don't want a movie where there are huts walking around or sliding around or whatever they do.
The animated series had a lot of that in there.
Did it have huts moving
around? Yeah, you had a lot of the different factions of the huts doing their thing. Yeah. And there was like a... I don't remember if he was a nephew or what he was really a troublemaker, but a really flamboyant character in the Star Wars animated series that was really kind of interesting.
And he was a Hutt.
Yeah, he was a Hutt.
Was he upwardly mobile? Could he move
around?
Yeah,
he could move around, yeah.
Weird. Okay, I kind of want to see all this now.
Kind of like, you know, you saw Jabba or, moving around in the when they animated him in the Star Wars Episode IV, New Hope.
And I want to say in Knights of the Old Republic, I want to say the original game, I want to say there were some Hutts walking around. I can't remember exactly, but whatever they do here, I'm excited. I'm excited about all the Star Wars stuff, and it's all very exciting.
I wonder if people are going to be as excited about it as we were back in, what was it, 98, 99?
Yeah.
When, not 99, 95.
Yeah, 99 wouldn't have been 99. Well, we heard about it in 95, 96. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if people are going to be as excited about these upcoming movies as we were back then.
Yeah.
or is it a case of once bitten, twice shy?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the thing.
It's also a very different atmosphere now. There's, you know, we live in the world of YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, and it's a much louder sounding board than we used to have. Like, imagine that, and that monstrosity Phantom Menace coming out today. Just imagine the beating it would get.
Oh my gosh,
wouldn't even be close to 99. Anyway, it's all very exciting. This and more found at majorspoilers.com. It's a fantastic place to find your stuff and to keep up on these sorts of things, which we love. Anything else going on?
Nope, just the podcast awards. Go out and vote for all the Frog Pants shows that are out there.
Yep.
And if people would throw a vote our way, that would be great.
I think they should and will and might. So please do, everybody. Stephen, as always, a pleasure and a pleasure. Find him on Twitter at Major Spoilers, and we'll talk to you soon, man. Thanks so much.
Can't not wait for episode 1000.
Yeah. Yay. See you in a few years.
All right, man.
See ya.
All right. Good stuff, Stephen.
By the way, before we get to Geek Food, take a look in your Skype, and there's a link.
Is this Flickr link?
Where I tell you about it's the Flickr link, yeah.
All right. Flickr with an R. Got it.
That's right.
Bringing it up. Oh, who is this?
That is, oh my God, let me make sure I got her name. Chris Murphy. She plays Katie Witt on The West Wing.
Oh, that's why she's familiar.
That's why, and Velvet Lip, who is a photographer named Eric, had her in his studio and had her take a picture of that.
What the heck? Are you kidding? All right, that is the greatest thing ever. I'm going to never wash my eye again. That is so cool, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's rad. We need more cool people listening to the show so they can do more cool things like this. That's amazing. All right. Well, thank you for that. Who is it? Who did it? We'll give him credit again.
Velvet Lip in the Tadpole, also known as Eric.
It's usually Eric, also known as Velvet Tip. But yes, we'll take it the other way as well.
Yes, sure.
All right. It is time for the Geek Food, ladies. So I'm going to mute you for 1 second. Watch this. Okay. I think that I just yelled for him because they weren't sure when I'd be done. And this is the best part. I go, hey, you guys ready? And it's silent. And then all of a sudden I hear about three chairs go. So they're all coming now.
Well done.
Yeah. Nice. So let's see how this works. I have a special plan. No, you're totally fine. Okay. I'm doing this for the first time. Take that one off. Okay. Now wait.
Oh, this is cool.
Plug this in. Okay.
Ooh.
All right. Brian, do you hear? Hold on. I turn that down. All right, Brian, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Are you going to hear an echo of me, though?
We shouldn't. Do you hear yourself echoing?
Oh, no. I did for a second, but it doesn't look like it's continuing. So, good.
Okay. Awesome. So, hi, guys. It's this is a little weird because we haven't done it this way before, but it's the Geek Food Ladies. It's my wife, Kim, and her sister, Sarah, and I'm going to aim this at them so you guys can say hi. Say wait. See? Standing there by that phallic-looking microphone. staring. Don't worry. Just stare into that the whole time we're here. It's fine. Yeah, pretend there's not a wiener there. And they hear you, Brian, over speakers.
Good. Yeah. Good.
So we didn't have to do this.
Hi, guys.
So couldn't hear
I can't hear them, though.
Oh, you can't hear them?
I can't hear them.
Oh, can we hear you? Can you guys hear them in the thing? Here, you guys say something.
Hey, good morning.
Nope, we don't hear you. Why?
Nope.
Hold on. Turn on.
Oh, so close.
Hold on, everybody. Got the power turned on.
Hey, say something again.
Yellow.
Do it again.
Yellow. Nope.
The heck? I had this all set up last night.
Yes, you did.
What the heck? Hold on. Oh.
Ooh.
Sorry, Brian. Feedback.
Hot mic.
Aw, oh, what's the deal? No, wait a minute. Oh, you know what?
Did you turn off?
Oh. Hold on, you guys. Hold on, everybody. I can do this in 2 seconds flat. Okay, pull that out. Hey, watch this. This is how you podcast. Okay, we almost got it. All right. Okay. Brian, entertain the troops. What can you tell them? Tell them a joke. Do you have a good joke?
No, not off the top of my head. I don't. You know what? I'll plug something. I'm doing a new podcast, just started, called From the Helicarrier, speaking of S.H.I.E.L.D., that is game strategies and news about the Marvel Avengers Alliance game on Facebook.
What?
And on iOS.
So what? How'd you work that out?
With Charles McFall, who does Success Freaks.
Yeah.
He and I met at Dragon Con. He saw me playing Avengers Alliance on my laptop. He's like, "Oh my god, dude, you play that too?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You know what sucks is there are no podcasts for it. Not even good, bad, nothing."
Really?
And he said, "You and I should work on one." And so he tried to hook me up. He tried to get me in for the first episode, and it wasn't working. So he said, "All right, you know what? Your schedule's just too tight. I'm going to go ahead and do these all on my own."
Oh man.
And I listened to the first one. I said, "Oh, it needs to be conversational. I don't know what it's going to take for me to make sure it fits into my schedule, but I'm part of it." So episode four feature, yeah, episode four and forward will include me.
That's totally cool.
That's awesome.
Very nice. Yeah. Okay. So now let's see if we can hear. Can you hear the girls now? Go ahead.
Yellow.
Can you hear them?
I can.
Good morning.
Can. Okay, it's working now. Fantastic. Welcome to the show, everybody. So I don't even know what we're talking about today. What are we doing?
We're just finally back. Yeah.
Right. We've been off for a while.
We haven't been back in a month, I think.
longer than that. Do you guys want to, this is a small thing, but so we went to Sarah's house last night, mm-hmm, had a potato bar.
Yep, it was delicious.
You don't have to have ID or anything to get into the potato.
Exactly.
What's the secret word?
Yeah, but what's the secret word? But it impressed me how many people came through there and ate on what seemed like so little. Like, so you have this spread.
Right.
And a big stack of potatoes, but that fed like...
What, 30 people?
Yeah. Like 30 people. Yeah. Is that... how big of a deal is that? Is that hard? Is this the easiest way to handle 30 people? Is that better than making a bunch of casseroles and all that?
Oh yeah, I think so.
Oh yeah,
so, and it's more fun. I think everybody gets to customize it how they like it.
Yeah, yeah.
The kids are happier,
and you're happy
whenever
with the way
they
it
can
went
put cheese on everything.
Yeah, oh dude.
Any kind of
chili,
I think any kind of bar works. You can do a potato bar. You can do a taco bar.
Right.
You can do a hamburger bar.
You can do a Hawaiian haystack.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways.
Hold on, stop a hamburger bar. How do you do that? What's that about?
Everyone, well, you just
have
hamburgers.
Oh, you have like an assembly line. Of
assembly line. Okay. Yeah. Any kind of assembly line food.
But that takes somebody like Brian out in the yard cooking burgers. Right?
Or Steve. Yeah.
Or Steve.
But usually guys don't mind. They don't really want to be in the mix of all the crazy family.
Yeah, no.
So it's me mostly.
It gets us away.
Maybe. Exactly. Yeah, it's just you.
So Brian likes to get away. I like to... What do I do?
You go sit in a corner on your phone.
I kind of do, yeah. It's kind of lame.
No,
so your mom walked up to me yesterday and she goes, "Oh, I see you're on your computer again." And I said, "Well, this is my phone." She goes, "Well, it's kind of a computer." I said, "It is, but..." I go, "You're saying it in such a pejorative way, like I'm doing something negative right now." And
right.
She didn't really have an answer for that.
She can't help herself.
I think she was irritated with me last night. But anyway, bottom line is, sorry, I didn't mean to divert us.
It's okay.
Potato bars aside, what are you guys doing now that things have settled? What's the hot thing? How are you going to feed us for the rest of the week? What's the plan?
Well, fall is here, so
it
we're ready
yesterday.
Ready to make some winter food.
Mm. Yeah, we do a lot of soups, mm-hmm, chilies.
So what are your favorite pot? Winter foods? What do you like the most?
Sarah's taco soup is a huge hit at everyone's house, no matter where you
we
go.
We do that quite a bit.
It's a little farty.
Tina makes that now.
Not you specifically.
Does she really? Oh, good.
Yes. Tina does?
A good one.
Yes, thank you for that. Yeah, no, she did it this last week, did taco soup, and I love the leftovers on that. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Hold on, it's the same recipe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Put it up on the blog. It's been up for a while.
Oh, yeah, it's up on the site. Yeah. The website at frogcast.com/geekfood.
That's the one.
Although even if it wasn't on the blog, it's a pretty darn easy recipe.
It is. Exactly. That was the point, is something easy but healthy and feeds a lot of people.
Yeah, fast.
Mm-hmm. Fast, simple. Yeah. That's good. We like that. But yeah, it is the season for things like, let's smell up the chowder. House with like pumpkin smells and cinnamon smells and things like that. Do you feel pressured to make food that is the stereotypical fall / holiday food?
No.
How are you going to do things different this year? Like you talked about Thanksgiving, not doing straight up turkey.
Yeah. Talk about finger foods, making mini quiches, meatballs, all the things that you love. They could be turkey meatballs in cranberry sauce even.
But this sounds like sacrilegious. Not sacrilegious. It sounds like explosively controversial to say, oh, we're not having turkey this year. We're not having stuffing. We're not having potatoes. You're literally going to walk around with a plate like buffet style and get a bunch of finger food.
Why not? Refill your plate as much as you want, but easier. Just kind of make it simpler.
Instead of sitting in the kitchen for 3-4 hours cooking this huge meal that's eaten in 10 minutes and is so heavy and starchy, and you get to actually have some different
things. We'll let you know how it goes.
But I love turkey.
Like I said, still they can have turkey meatballs. You can have little things.
That's true.
Little things.
Can you miniaturize the turkey? Then we would make that too. But
you can even
get
like turkey slices wrapped in bacon or something.
Yeah, there you go. We'll still wrap things in bacon, but it's going to be different.
I like this idea of taking the traditional idea and turning it into less traditional. So turkey meatballs is a good example of that. Mm-hmm. But why not?
In the 90s, they called it deconstructed.
There you go. It's Thanksgiving deconstructed. That's what we're doing this year.
So can you do like, I don't know, like some people go out to Chinese food as their tradition, like just to be so different than everybody else doing their thing. At some point, though, isn't the tradition of Thanksgiving specifically those things? It's other things, like there's football and there, you know, we have all these other attached things we've attached to the traditions here in the States, and I'm sure in the other parts of the world there's other things like that. Like Canada has their own Thanksgiving, and that was like what, a month ago or something, Brian, or a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
And they just sit around putting holes in their money or whatever they do. I don't know what they do.
Well, I think the tradition of Thanksgiving, in my mind, I think with our family, is to get together and have a meal as a family. Exactly. And spend time together.
So the food is not...
It has become tradition.
But the food is not the part that matters the most.
Exactly.
The defining part is in-laws judgment.
Exactly. Kids tearing up your house.
Going through the biggest newspaper you've ever seen.
What is it that you do again?
Now, what is a podcast? Now, what does that do?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yeah. So that's fun. I always look forward to those stupid things.
That's the tradition, though, is getting up on that morning, not having breakfast, eating dinner lunch by noon, and having this huge meal with everyone.
Yeah.
But it's mostly about getting together, playing games, video games, football, whatever your game is.
I like that you put video games in there.
Well, that's what we're doing
this
year.
That's what we do, yeah.
We do card games and board games, too.
So who's doing it? Who's hosting it?
I'm not sure yet. We haven't decided that.
It might not be me. It might be Kim.
It might be us if we can get our house back in order. It's a disaster.
I can't wait to have stains of all types on all this new carpet.
We got great stains the very first time we had everybody over at our house.
Did you get a bunch of stains?
You were there. Yeah.
They played spin something downstairs, came up the stairs, and threw up on the stairs. It was awesome. Right after we had a clean.
Who did? Who barfed? Kate barfed?
Yes. Right, like three stairs.
Cranberry barf.
It was fantastic.
It's the worst kind of barf than cranberry.
Yet really another reason not to have cranberries.
Cranberry barf looks like you're bleeding or something. All right. Well,
internally,
I'm looking forward to that.
Change things up, you know.
Now we're going to have you guys on a more regular basis because the proximity of Sarah is going to contribute to that. And I'm looking forward to specifically Christmas ideas because Christmas is when you eat a lot of crap. So my homework for you guys is, how can we have that same kind of traditional, slightly indulgent Christmas without gaining 20 pounds?
We can do that.
So in a joint effort between you and Tuesday's Build-A-Ran, we're going to come up with a way to not be fat by January.
There you go.
I agree with that completely.
Yeah. It's a good idea, right?
Let's do it.
It's a very good idea. We'll look forward to that. Anything else you guys have going on right now? You want to?
We're just going to start cooking this week again.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm sick of eating out.
It's just been
bad. I think you guys did a great job. You did a lot of crock pots.
We did all right.
I tried to use all my food there.
We had some good rice, that butter rice, dark rice stuff you made. Could eat that now.
It's the Trader Joe's basmati rice.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Ooh, we live closer to Trader Joe's now. Brian, you know about Trader Joe's, right?
We do. There's one coming to Denver.
Wasn't it a Canadian thing originally?
Or is that it was a California thing.
What am I thinking of? What's the Canadian thing where people
Ed Hortons?
Yeah, oh, that's it.
Oh, Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons bullcrap.
Tim Hortons. Ed Nortons?
Ed Nortons. Ed Norton. The Ed Nortons. It's you get a big green tea, get it? Green tea, Ed Norton, get it? Because he was the Hulk.
Yes,
anyway.
I know.
Had to clear that
Thanks
up.
Thanks for clearing that.
Thanks, honey.
Frogpants.com/geekfood. The podcast is still a thing, and you guys will be cranking that up again.
Yes.
Gosh, what else? Oh, on Twitter, what is it? The Geek Food on Twitter?
Yeah,
and Geek Food.
No, Instagram is where
Instagram's Geek Food and the Geek Food. And then on Twitter, it's The Geek Food.
Correct.
And follow them and check them out.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. I can't hang up on you now. Now you have to just leave.
All right, we'll walk out.
I can cut off your mic. Okay, now everything goes back together.
Make room for the next guest.
Okay, got it. That worked out all right.
Yeah.
Could have been worse. I'll automate that more and make it less stupid, but.
No, that's cool. It reminds me that I've got to get that thing going so that I can have my secondary soundboard to hijack the
show
when I want to play.
Right. We can sneak something in there.
I pounded that one as hard as I could.
Good to have them on. Thank you, guys. See you later. What else? That's it. We are done. That's a show. No emails today because it's a long one. I knew it would be.
It's 5 minutes to 10 anyway, so let's,
Yeah, let's close down this shop. I do want to thank everybody involved, especially that 500 tribute thing and everyone involved with it. You guys are amazing. Made my day. I'll probably never have another opportunity to hear people like Tom Merritt sing or Steven Schleicher sing.
Or Nicole or Daryl. Oh, my God, Daryl.
Daryl sang, dude, on a microphone.
I can't wait to listen to it again. We've got a link you probably have in your email. Mm-hmm. It's actually in the chat room as well, where you can see the lyrics and which Tad Pooler and guest is singing it. So.
Brilliant. Repost that in the chat just so people get it, anyone who missed it. Oh, there it is. Someone already did.
It's right there. Yep.
Revan Geek Blogspot. There it is.
So good. Thank you, Revan Geek.
Yeah, thank you, Revan Geek. And Noggin Fogger Elixir, or whoever sponsored this. I'll see where Wendy did it. And if you're privileged.
Yeah, second, third verse.
To you. That's perfect.
Yes.
She took heat for that white privilege thing. All right. That's great. I'll have to call her and tell her that was great. All right. And that photo is amazing. Today's been amazing. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We really, really appreciate it. Also, thanks to AlphaGeekRadio.com for letting us stream this out live. Scott Fletcher for all our voice bumpers. And you guys for being such great listeners. We're at frogpants.com/TMS on Facebook/TheMorningStream. You can email us, and we'll read those emails right here on the show, themorningstream@gmail.com. Happy birthday to Randy Jordan, fellow Frog Panther Randy Jordan's birthday today. I don't know how old he is today. Is the big 40 today for him?
No, maybe. He's not hitting 40 yet, is he?
I think he's 38, 39.
Let's see. He might be in my Skype because it always comes up there. Does it say his actual year? It does not.
The big 40. No, I'm not sure. I'm not
39
sure.
39 is what Cleo's saying.
39. All right. One more year and he's there. He's all set.
Ha!
Just think Will will only be, when Will's a teenager, you'll be 50. anyway, so happy birthday to him. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at morningstream, Scott Johnson, und Coverville.
Yes.
And that's going to do it for us. All right, let's get the hell out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. Brand new show. Shows all week except Thursday, which we're flying to beautiful, sunny, semi-Southern California.
And Anaheim.
Uh-huh. We'll be in Anaheim. Lots of pictures, lots of stuff coming back, lots of recording, lots of cool stuff. So watch for that. All right, Brian, let's do a song to get us the hell out of Dodge.
Sure. And one more quick reminder to cast your votes for us in the podcast awards today if you haven't already.
Please do.
Get used to it, folks. We're going to be talking about this all the way up until the 15th. So
imagine a world where we win them all.
Imagine.
Exactly.
Imagine. Mm-hmm. And also I want to throw out one more thank you as we hit our 500th episode. And he doesn't have a Twitter, I don't think, so I can't thank him via tweets, but Dale Campbell is the other intern. Of course, Mike Boyd, Iceworm is one of the TMS interns that handles like the trivia questions, a lot of stuff for us.
Mm-hmm. Tons of other stuff for
big
the shows
help.
Too. Does a lot
big
of work
help,
for us.
Yeah, and at Nerdtacular too.
Yep.
Dale Campbell handles all of the request database. So when you email a request to tmsrequests@coverville.com, he's the guy who assembles it into a database so that I can pull from it and say, all right, what do we have that is appropriate for today? And so huge, huge thanks to Dale Campbell for putting that all together.
Agreed.
Okay, let's get to the last song of the day here, High Bog and Swamp On 4th of November, I'll be starting my new job. It's been a weird year of ups and downs for me, graduating from my master's program, the death of my beloved grandfather, etc. And I feel like this job will be a nice way to end the year and to show myself that I can get through anything, both good and bad. In order to celebrate the new job and commemorate the year, I was wondering if I could get a cover of a Depeche Mode song. If you happen to have a cover of either New Dress or I Feel You, that would be really cool, but I'd be happy with whatever you can find. Even though you two, nor I, nor anyone else, will ever figure out the Miley Cyrus tongue thing. Still love the show, though. Rachel from Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Well, first off, congratulations, Rachel, on the master's program. That
and
is
I wasn't
fantastic.
Laughing at you, by the way, Rachel. Oh. I was laughing at something else. I apologize. It sounded sure. like I was laughing at you. I was looking at these lyrics, and they're cracking me up. Anyway, that is cool. Congrats on that.
That is really, really cool. So let's get to a cover of I Feel You by Depeche Mode. This one came out on a 2009 album by Collide called These Eyes Before. If the mid-show song was a little too light rock for you, then you're in for a big treat for the final song of the show today. Mm. Collide with I Feel You, originally by Depeche Mode. This is great. You're going to love it.
Love it. Some old Depeche Mode, too.
Yes.
So here you go. We'll play that, and we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode, 501 to be exact, of The Morning Stream.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Excuse me, madam.